It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. John C. Dvorak's here, Larry Magid, Liz Gaines, and Clayton Morris. We're going to talk about the latest tech news, what Apple might have in September, the big IFA conference coming up in Berlin. It's all ahead. This Week in Tech is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 419, recorded August 18th, 2013. Truckloads of arrogance. This Week in Tech is brought to you by SumAll. If your company provides data to customers, you can upgrade, complement, or replace your existing data analytics presentation layer with SumAll and the new SumAll API. SumAll gives you and your customers improved analytics, integration with related data streams, and more. Reserve your API spot at sumall.com/developer and make sure you mention TWiT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Visit audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. And by GoToAssist from Citrix. Take control of your IT world from one simple cloud-based platform. Provide live or unattended support to all your users anywhere. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToAssist.com and use the promo code TWIT. And by Carbonite. Whether you have one computer at home or several at your small business, Carbonite backs up your files for you automatically and continually for only $59.99 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use the offer code TWIT to get 2 bonus months with purchase. It's time for TWIT! This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the week's tech news. We don't add any value or information to it, but we sure have a lot of fun talking about it. And we've got a great panel. I think we add value. We add context.
And I think you may have the best panel ever.
This could be, starting with John C.
Dvorak.
Dvorak by name. Nick Nolte by fame.
Exactly.
Yep. And next to you, we got Larry Magid. This is the crusty old side of the table.
Oh.
CBS News.
It's also
News.
Your bad side.
Yeah. Hey. I'm in the middle because I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not crusty.
Not by much, Leo.
All right, I'll be on the crusty side. Then the young folks over here. Side. This is the kids' table. We got Liz Gaines from All Things D. Good to have you.
Thank you.
I know her father, believe it
I know her father very well, Stuart. It's great.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was so thrilled. I was talking to Stu, and I didn't know that you were in the biz.
Yeah.
And
we just had dinner last night.
Yeah. And I said, that you must make you so happy. Yeah. Your daughter has a job. Even like good nowadays.
Second generation tech reporter.
Isn't that cool? That's so good. That we are getting old now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And the kids. And also, of course, Clayton Morris of Fox and Friends.
Hello.
Tech guru. Are you at Lake Tinky Winky?
No. We're back home in New Jersey.
We've been in Jersey.
Yeah. We were traveling too much. We're home.
Yeah.
We're at home base.
Yeah. I know more about Clayton and Natalie. Nathan and Clattily. Than anybody, because of Path. I follow you on Path, and you guys use it, and it's great. I figure you're posting on Path for the grandparents, and I'm just kind of along for the ride.
You know, it's a good mix, and I try to get some of my friends who I'm close with. I try to keep a real small, as a guy, right? No guys have, like, 30 friends. That's where girls, girls
right.
always have, like,
I
30
have no
friends.
Yeah.
Guys, yeah, I've got like 3 close guy friends, right?
Right.
And then you got the extended family, and I've got it. So I have like, I don't know, maybe 30 friends on Path, and it's great, because I'll post more intimate things on there and just.
It's a good way to. I found, I feel like I know people that I know, of course, and like. I don't follow people I don't know on Path. You have to be, somebody I know from Meat Space.
Right.
But.
MEAT. MEAT or MEET.
MEAT. But it is a great way of staying in touch. Better than Facebook, where there's a lot more activity and stuff going on.
I don't know if this is a problem for a lot of people, but it's my problem. But I find that the people I know on Path who tend to be in the tech industry use it for like the bragging that they wouldn't feel comfortable doing on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, that makes it really unappealing.
And it's like, you can't post your private jet or your like backstage with Jay-Z photo because that would be more than humble bragging. But you can put it on Path.
I think it's more embarrassing. Your feed is filled with pictures of Jay-Z and private jets.
How many people I know who are backstage at the random. I mean, sorry, that sounds like I'm bragging now.
Now you're bragging.
You're having a fast crowd.
Mostly I see Tinky Wig and.
like Sarah Lane on, you know, like we're friends, of course.
She's in Miami, right?
And yeah, and she's, and I think Path, I end up posting more embarrassing things because I have no shame whatsoever. I mean, I,
right.
you know,
I'm like that
you can't embarrass me at all.
Yeah.
But I mean, I will post the most embarrassing things on Path, I think, that I can think of. And so I don't tend to brag on there. If anything, it's like, oh, I can't believe I did this, you know, and it's, I reserve that for Path.
I think this is, in, to me, this is the best of what social media has to offer. But you look at, and if, well, you know, we were just talking before the show, Liz just had her All Things Mobile conference.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what, in April in New York in the spring?
Yep.
And you mentioned you got really big names in mobile there. Waze, which mm-hmm. is social mapping. And this was pre the sale, right?
Yeah, it was right in the middle of everything.
Oh, wow.
It was when it looked like they were going more towards Facebook. So it's kind of funny if you watch it back because they talked about how they talked to get down Google a lot, which was interesting.
Right, wow. Mm-hmm. Right. Wow, that's kind of surprising, actually. You don't want to save those tapes. WhatsApp, which is still independent, but mm-hmm. valued immensely. That's a social app that
if you don't use it,
you don't know about it. And if you use it, you really know about it. It replaces text messaging.
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest.
Right.
I think it's
more
second
billion,
to Facebook
right?
in the world.
More
in
than
reach.
A billion users, yes.
Yeah, definitely bigger than Twitter.
Yeah. And then we were talking about Pinterest, which is what valued at what now?
$2.5 billion.
$2.5 billion.
Wow.
I don't know. You use Pinterest?
I do.
Oh.
But I don't, I'm, I don't know. I mean, I don't make a lot of stuff. You know, I'm not a DIY fanatic. But it's kind of a nice thing to drop in on for me. It's
you know
more
what,
of a diversion.
What I just noticed, I was looking at my SoundCloud account where I put some of my podcasts, and you can share them directly on Pinterest. I don't know what they look like on Pinterest or sound like, but so I may actually start using it now because I create zero interesting things to look at. But if you can put audio.
Interest.
This is fascinating.
Oh, I spent some time during the show today playing around on Pinterest. And
John wants to talk about DOS 5.
Yeah. I don't know what the point of these humiliations are, but you guys are talking about valuations.
Well, that's true. Okay, so I'm going.
That's
who
not the
cares?
Only thing.
Who out there I'm going somewhere with this.
Valuations.
No, but that's the point. Where okay. is there's this vast amount of money floating around this stuff, but none of this really seems to have much traction. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Is that I don't. Pinterest could be gone tomorrow, and it's not like there's going to be tiers of.
I actually totally disagree with you, and I think that's why it's interesting because people you know don't use Pinterest, and
right.
it still has a massive audience because we're now at this point where there's so many people who are connected to broadband and using smartphones that you don't know all of them.
No, I understand that. Would they? But how loyal and engaged is this audience? Do you think it's highly engaged?
Highly.
You know,
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
No. I'm taking Leo's side
on
this.
If I just post some photos on Pinterest, I'll link to some photos that I've taken on Pinterest, and so people will follow my photography board, and that's great. But I end up doing like home improvement stuff. I had a board for home improvement, and we're working on this addition on our house right now. And we were at the hardware store today, and I had to pick out these new cabinets, and I had remembered that we picked this pantry design, and I pinned it like 8 months ago. On Pinterest, wow. And that's the one we ended up going with. It was the first time I was using Pinterest like all day today for the first time in a while. But I had pinned it all there. It was all there, and I was able to use it.
So you couldn't like just save this in a folder someplace on your own machine?
Well, of course.
It's useful for him, but the question is
I think let's go back to the premise, or the original question was, this thing disappears tomorrow, what difference does it make? Does everybody go up in arms? They start protesting around the White House.
If you're a woman in the Midwest, you're probably going to be upset. Isn't that their market? Women in the Midwest.
Well, that and apparently Clayton.
Well, the Clayton, amount of traffic though, by
of interest to women.
Where
in the
else can you do this, ladies and gentlemen?
Whoa!
I just gave you.
You just sent him a heart.
Someone had already pinned that though. You didn't just grab that from his site.
I have
That's
no
already
idea
been
what's
repinned
going
three
on.
Times.
It shows up all over the place.
I have no
place.
Idea how this works. I may be a member, but I don't understand how it works.
And that picture up there on the right, Trey took of me in New Zealand hopping across waterfalls.
Oh, that's neat.
Give it a
shot.
Like it.
That's cool.
Heart it.
Okay.
But the point is, Trey actually told me they make. I
you know, that's sad. You have to like it before you can unlike it. You should just be able to unlike it from the beginning.
I agree. Thumbs down.
Yeah.
Trey, I think, told me he gets more traffic through Pinterest for sales of his photographic prints than anywhere else. That even
right,
than even
right. That, that is the reason people
okay.
think
well,
Pinterest
then I'm all for it.
Is the referral traffic, which is not really an exciting thing to talk
and
about.
Same,
nothing like
Etsy,
mercantilism.
And all the crafts and things up there, and that don't want to use a marketplace like Etsy. So all of these independent craft makers who are making really unique things, able to sell and get their website noticed through a site like Pinterest, where you have all of these people who are trying to replicate those crafts for birthday parties and get togethers and all those sorts of things. I mean, I think it's really doing a lot of interesting things.
So this is going to show my ignorance. So I searched for Clayton Morris. I obviously found Clayton Morris.
You have your name up here.
But that's because I'm logged into my Pinterest account. Okay. But how do I follow you?
You're not finding him. You're finding content about him.
Right.
So, yeah, well,
so
you
click
hard
on the tab that says pinners.
Oh, you're a pinner. Oh, I'm going to follow you. You know what that means? A really small joint. So, oh, look, here's Megan Morris Clayton. Any relation?
No.
That must be a very...
Or should I follow this Clayton Morris?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I want to follow this guy.
Oh, there you go, Iowa.
Yeah, small town Iowa.
He's a crested gecko fanatic.
Uh-huh. And a parent.
That's my younger brother.
That guy does not look old enough
like
to be a parent,
14.
Husband, and
no,
nurse.
He's one of those guys who posts his high school picture.
Oh.
He looks like Bob Howard's brother.
No. This is weird. I just searched for myself. People actually pinned things about me. I don't know who these people are. It's like I'm being pinned by guys. I thought.
Okay, there you go. Clip of the day.
Yep.
Well, maybe you have to move over to this side of the table now.
Okay, so you could search for pins, which is things that are pinned about me. God, that's a horrible picture.
Look at that terrible picture
hell
of you.
That is.
Tell it. Just get rid of it.
Who did that?
just wipe it out.
Yeah, report the content.
Can't you wipe it out? Like
no, somebody's
boom.
Pinned it.
Flag it for being inappropriate.
This is people who are pinning stuff about me.
Ooh. Yeah.
And then pinners, which would be me, and some guy named me. All right. So now we've had a little mini.
All right, that's enough. Enough promotion for
seminar,
this operation.
But I'm just wondering how there's so many social media. So you think it's just because it's massive and it's universal that it's fragmented and there are people in different groups. But as somebody who's trying to invest, and I'm not, but I mean,
and there are
all these
you
massive
are.
Valuations. Mm-hmm. I wonder how you pick who's going to be a winner. It's hard to know, isn't it? Because it's very narrow slices of
It's a lot harder than it used to be because it really depends on network effects, and VCs can't create network effects.
Right. And then what does this mean for Facebook? Which is the overarching giant.
Yeah.
Right? Is Facebook in trouble because they aren't specific enough?
No, actually, I think that's why they're successful. I think that the fact that there will be niches and there'll be Facebook. And Facebook will, number one, be the link that brings you to many of these sites, right? How many of them have clicking, you know, whatever.
They all have, yes. Facebook.
And it's still the overall arch. So I think it's fine for Facebook. If I were Facebook, I'd actually be happy about it.
Yeah, all your pins go right to Facebook if you put if you select it that way. It's just the same with Path, right? If I just tweeted out the picture I took on Path using the Lumia 1020 to take a picture of my screen of Leo just a minute ago, I decided I'm going to push that out to Twitter.
Right.
You know, it's home is on Path. The same as with Pinterest. I'm able to then push that to Facebook. A lot of the traffic I ended up getting on Pinterest was as a result of Facebook.
Right.
And so Facebook's I was just talking to someone from Pinterest I interviewed on Friday, so pretty recently, and they were saying that this is an internal opinion of theirs, comparing us to Twitter and Facebook doesn't make sense. What makes more sense is comparing us to a discovery version of Google. So instead of searching for things, you're finding things based on other people's inspirations, and it's a re-indexing of everything versus, a way to connect to your friends.
And presumably people who use Pinterest would agree with that. That's what they're using it. That's how they're using it, it sounds like. I think it's interesting because what we're seeing is a huge fragmentation. We see the top of the iceberg, the Twitter, the Facebook, and then there's this fragmentation below that's only going to increase.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not bad. That's not a bad thing at all. It just means it's hard to pick a winner because does it mean to even be a winner?
It's also hard to pick as a consumer. It's hard to pick where you want to post, right? Like, I can't post on every single network out there. So, I'm into Facebook. I'm into Twitter. Play around a little bit with Instagram, but at some point you get tired of jumping around. So how do we users figure out where to go? Right.
That's a great question. I mean, because I think Google Plus.
How's that
for
a
me,
great question?
It's because two out because of three said it was a great question.
Well, it's a vote. Well, we got Liz here. She hasn't made a vote.
I was reading the chat.
I mean, look at Google Plus, right? I mean, we all wrote Google Plus off at the beginning, right? After Google Buzz came out, we thought, well, you know, what a disaster that was.
Yeah.
And we wrote off Google Plus. How are you going to come out and have gangbuster support and create a massive social network in the face of Facebook and Twitter? How are you going to do it? And, you know, Google Plus at the beginning was a little, you know, there was no one there. Now it's beautiful. And I spend more time now on Google Plus because of the way that I can, you know, integrate photos. It's clean. It just has it's sort of how my brain works. I just want to see clean, nice looking time. If I'm going to spend and get some news, a little bit of news, I'm going to post some photos, look at some other people's photographs, some communities, you know, if I have some technology communities and some Phillies communities and those sorts of things. And then I'm out, you know, and I don't need the craziness, the mess of Facebook. It's an absolute disaster.
Yeah. I go first to Google Plus in the morning and I do not go to Facebook.
Well, it's ironic what you just said, Clayton, is because Facebook was the alternative to MySpace, which was the absolute disaster. Yeah. And Facebook with the clean, well-lighted version of MySpace. And now you're saying that Facebook is too messy, which is, I find very interesting.
I guess part of the reason I asked the question is because of that two-word phrase that's so important, the network effect. That right up to now, what was important was you get the mass audience. The network effect happens because it snowballs, and once you get a certain level, then everybody follows you. And it was IM was that way. When when there are 15 IM clients, it was hard to know where your friends were. But if everybody's on AOL or AIM, then that's where you are going to be. Right. And in fact, it actually broke down along national borders. Microsoft Messenger was huge in Canada. Not big here, but huge in Canada. And so if you wanted to talk to somebody in Canada, you'd go on MSN Messenger.
So now it's
fragmented, and it's a good thing. It's because everybody has their own niche, but that kind of then eliminates the network effect. I don't know how the network effect.
I don't think it was
but
ever
it's not
a network
just fragmented.
Effect.
It's just bigger. So I was just looking up is there's a new like tweets per second record.
How big is it now?
So it's just massively, massively bigger than it was 6 months ago and before that.
Everybody's
so
on Twitter now.
There's just it's not like we're leaving MySpace to go to Facebook anymore. There's just more.
Right.
This is not a network effect. I think there's a mistake. I think you're looking at increasing returns, the economic model, which is the one where everyone goes to where everyone is, which was the thing that Microsoft was fighting against the government because there was a couple of Stanford economics professors came up with increasing returns because we always had diminishing returns when we went to college. It turns out with these tech things, it's the other way, right? Because if everyone's developing apps for the iPhone, that's where the market becomes because there's more apps there. And so everyone develops more apps and more people buy the iPhone. And it's like you don't get the other effect.
Yeah, but
and
the
I
difference is
network.
There's nobody up there in the sky deciding which apps we're going to use. It goes the other direction. Right. And so there's a lot of apps on the Apple platform. And how many of the interesting new social apps are people actually using? That comes from users, not from someone on high.
Here's my angle.
But you have to admit that there's an attraction to it. If you have two platforms and one of them's got crap on it, so next to nothing, let's say Windows.
There are business reasons as well, but the reason things succeed is not because like someone cut a business deal with someone.
No,
I love this point,
but
this is a great
things
point
that are popular point. Succeed. Sorry.
Wait a minute. That's a tautology.
Think about it.
All right.
Things that are popular succeed. Well, this might be a reason why. And I love Lorenzo Areno just tweeted me. He said, this is an important point to bring up about Pinterest. It's that it's about pictures. And where I might not be following a person on Facebook to see that I like these shoes. He makes the point that it's very successful in the fashion wedding industry and that if a woman sees a pair of shoes, she might not be able to speak Spanish, but she knows the love of shoes. And so she clicks on it. She pins that. She might buy those shoes from Spain. She can't even read the Spanish that's associated with that post. She's not going to be friends with a person who might be from Spain if she doesn't speak that language. So Pinterest offers something that Facebook simply does not offer. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, this is an aside, but we were talking about how I got married 4 years ago. I'm actually kind of sad that I didn't get married when Pinterest existed.
Because the whole thing could be on Pinterest.
Yeah, I mean,
you're going to be even sadder if you got married.
I'm okay with it. I didn't need to have like an every detail is perfect wedding, but it could have been pretty neat to find things.
Because of it, for finding things, not because you'd
score it there. Inspiration,
For inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Lorenzo was saying that females are now creating their entire wedding on Pinterest. And is one of the most lucrative forms of new sales for wedding companies in towns. I didn't know that.
I guess my model is the wrong model because I have the media model. So in the old days, there were the big media, you know, NBC, CBS, ABC. We all watched that. That was the one you talked about when you came in the morning. You watched what was on Carson. Everybody watched the same thing. And then the media got highly fragmented and became very niche. And, besides Shark Week, there's no thing that we all watch at the same time anymore. And I think that in some ways that's hurt, and in some ways it's been beneficial for media. So that's one thing.
Yeah, but then collectively, you all come together around big events, right? Right. And so we still want that. I think there was a study a few years ago that pointed out that we had this idea that because of the DVR and because of streaming, we weren't going to have these sort of collective experiences anymore. That was going to go away, right? We weren't ever going to be able to gather around the water cooler and talk about things anymore. We were just going to be drones waddling away. But that's not the case. People are still we're still having these big event shows. We're still having these big event watching experiences. And we're still having these communities, whether they're taking place on social media or other places.
But I think that's where social media comes in. It doesn't matter, you know, in the old days, I agree with Leo, you know, I used to watch Walter Cronkite, and everybody I knew could talk about what was on the CBS Evening News.
And that made him hugely influential.
It was huge. But now it's all Twitter. Now it's what are people tweeting? What are people posting on Facebook? How is social media interpreting whether you see it on Fox or NBC or CBS? Doesn't matter. Most of us are probably reading it on the web to begin with. But how many of us actually get our news from Twitter? I mean, I sometimes get my breaking news on Twitter, and then I go off to media to try to get some depth on it. So I think that you're right. We do still have a bit of that water cooler, just different.
The other question I have comes actually from a listener on the radio show who asked me yesterday. I just had a baby girl, and I would like to do somewhere online, do a baby book that I could, you know, as she grows, where could I post her story online? And, okay, let's presume it's going to be 18 years. What of these is going to be around 18 years from now?
Squarespace.
You know what I told her? And it came from that Google ad. I said, create a Gmail account and mail her pictures and stories and letters to her. And then when she's 18, give her the account. And that was the only thing I could think of. That I'm pretty sure Gmail will be around in 18 years. But
what about
I don't know about Facebook or Pinterest.
Yeah.
MySpace is still around.
It costs $10 a year to maintain your own domain, and you can host it for nothing if you want. You know, get her a domain while she's young.
That's what I'm thinking.
Put it there. Yeah. Put it there. I mean, right. And, you know, I use Bluehost Unlimited or HostGator, unlimited storage. I can put gigabytes of crap up there if I want to.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. What's wrong with doing it the old fashioned way?
Well, it's pretty old fashioned and it's kind of hard for people. I mean,
that's the problem.
Sending her an email is a very easy thing to do. I took a picture. I'm going to attach it to an email. I'm going to mail it to her, and it's going to be in her Gmail account.
Okay. Okay, I'll give you a thing. Set up like a HostGator account and then a Word, or even a WordPress.com account. Those are free.
Will they be around in 18 years?
I think WordPress will.
WordPress probably will. Well, although it is a good point, the hosting company that hosts my website may not be around in 18 years.
Right, so you have to be sophisticated enough to know how to move stuff in and out of it. I mean, your stuff,
you can FTP it out. Backing up the website's not that hard.
Backing it
up. Come on. Grab all the files with an FTP thing and slide it to a hard drive. What's the big deal?
Well, John, that's not something that everybody knows how to do.
It's not that difficult.
I think like I came up with the right answer, actually.
So hard.
Email it to yourself.
I do that.
This is old.
And that way the NSA gets a copy, too. If you email them.
So this is kind of the opposite problem of indexing an older person's life?
What?
We all missed Larry's joke.
What did you say?
I said the NSA is going to be around 18.
Yeah, just ask them for the files.
No, you know why? Because they don't know how to read the stuff.
They can't even
got.
Read their own email.
I mean, I was flipping out this morning on the show. I mean, they grab all of this crap, and then they don't know how to search it.
Oh, that'll get fixed.
Somehow, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I do.
You know, I'm sorry, but that seems a little self-serving. Oh, we're grabbing it, but we can't actually search it.
No, I'm sure we'll find out again once again when Snowden releases another document that undermines what they said they said incorrectly.
General
we'll just
Clampett.
Have this trickle. Yeah, we'll have this trickle of information that keeps coming out.
So here's a cool little random service that I started using that I think actually might have some longevity, and it's not because of the way it's built, it's just because of the way what it is. It's called Storyworth, and it's a service that sends an email to your parent once a week asking them for a story about their lives.
Oh, what a great idea.
Like, yeah, I've seen this.
So I'm doing it with my dad. I gave it to him for a Father's Day present, and it's so cool. And I started
seeing
my sisters on it, and we love it, and we're hearing all these parts about his life that we never knew about. So the questions are things like... what was your mother like? What was the first big trip you took? How did you choose your children's names?
And it
like
comes up with questions for you.
Yeah.
So the dad doesn't write back to you saying, what do you think I'm going to give this content away for nothing?
Well, some people sit down and write their memoirs and have an arc to it. Other people, like, it's nice to have someone ask the question. Idea. And you can either respond by email, so it's basically an email service, or by leaving a voicemail, and they'll transcribe it for you.
Yeah, there's a bunch of these storytelling things cropping up.
Well, and I thought
formats.
About something like Storify, but who knows if Storify is going to be around. This is nice because...
Well, you also pay for it, which is kind of ridiculous because they're not doing much, but the idea is you pay for it just because they promise that they won't screw up your content.
They also say once a week we could email you a question.
Oh, really? I haven't tried
that
yet.
Yeah, tell your own story.
There was a service that I thought I had pinned. I went to Pinterest to look it up and see if I did. And damn it, I didn't. But I sent it to my mother-in-law because I was just asking you guys if you guys print out photos anymore. And I think this service, I'm going to look it up, it sort of takes what you're doing digitally and then like prints it out in almost like shoebox form.
Yeah, I just got a pitch from them. Oh, no, there's another one where you can send postcards for $3, 99 cents a postcard.
Just what I need, more shoeboxes.
Right.
Well, I read about one that's postcards that are scratch and sniff, so.
Okay, I just sent my mom a story worth. I'm going to send my dad a story worth. Oh, that's cool. A really cool idea. Yeah, I like that. Anyway, I don't know how I got on this, and it has nothing to do with the week's news. I just...
No, it really went off the rails.
You know why? Because I saw Jobs on Thursday, and my brain has been fried ever since.
Oh, that movie.
Yeah. It was
Ashton
that bad?
Kutcher.
Give us a review, Leo.
Oh, my God. It's the most horrible thing I've ever seen.
Why? What's so bad? How could it be bad?
Okay,
it's about
first of
Steve
all,
Jobs. It has to be good.
Well, first of all, the only way it succeeds is because it is about this mythic character, and some of these stories are all very well known. So it's not
nothing new.
It's probably nothing. No, there's certainly no realizations in there. But this because the stories are so great, you know, of Steve Jobs saying, you know, firing people and so forth. That's entertaining in that level. But to see Ashton Kutcher smirk at the end of every scene was just too much to bear. And at one point, you know, he makes a big deal about how he studied Steve's walk and he learned it. Mm-hmm. First of all, Steve didn't have a particularly unusual walk. I don't
remember.
It wasn't
Jack Benny. There's a reference for you, ladies.
Did he have an odd walk? Let's see Jack Benny's walk.
I can't do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Kutcher walks completely normally through three quarters of the movie. Then all of a sudden... For no apparent reason.
He starts skipping.
He starts looking like Ichabod Crane. Yeah. He's like falling forward and his arms are akimbo. Yeah. And so, I couldn't figure out, what are you doing, Ashton? Why are you doing that?
I said this off air earlier because I knew we were going to talk about this today.
You just saw it, right?
Yeah, the 10 a.m. showing in Cupertino, which was interesting because there were like five Apple employees and me and my wife in the theater. And afterwards, we had this little impromptu conversation. Everybody who'd seen it just was standing around and all these guys who had worked with Jobs, and I, of course, who covered Jobs over the years. And every person said, you know, that it was, first of all, an exaggeration of his good points. They didn't get to all
Wait
of his
minute.
Bad points.
Not
even
exaggeration of his bad points? Exaggeration of his good points?
And his bad points.
Oh, okay.
But and his bad. I mean, the whole thing, it was like a characterization of Steve Jobs.
It was a cartoon.
It was a worse portrayal of Steve Jobs than The Social Network was of Mark Zuckerberg, and that was pretty bad. And they, you know, and it's hard. You know, you've got a person that just died, so a lot of people actually know him. If this were Abraham Lincoln, you know,
it's
none of us could sit around and talk about what he was really like. But it was a very bad portrayal of him, and he also didn't even deal with the point where Jobs was actually a success after he took up Apple. It just kind of ended with the iPod coming out, and never really got to the point where he actually made his huge contribution.
They left a lot of stuff out, but you have to. It's a two-hour movie, and
like
Steve
a
had a rich life. I think the acting is bad, although Woz is quoted in Gizmodo as saying, I thought the acting was good throughout, but I was attentive and entertained, but not greatly enough to recommend the movie.
That doesn't look anything like Steve Wozniak looked back then. I mean, it's not
it's
body type.
In fact, if anybody could be upset, it'd be Woz, because he really was misrepresented, I feel.
But why do they feel the need? Here's what I don't understand. I mean, I would have been fine with picking an actor that did a great acting job. I mean, I don't need him to look like Steve Jobs, right? If you're that good of an actor, I'm able to suspend disbelief.
Well,
they didn't mind
Noah Wiley looked like Steve and was great.
Yeah. And you sent out the review of it by people who worked at Apple, saying that they vastly preferred the Noah Wiley portrayal.
Yeah,
I'd like to see Jamie Foxx do it.
The Black Jobs. Do you know they're trying to build? There's an Indiegogo. They want to build a massive statue to commemorate Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. They've only raised $426, but I want to encourage you all to support this campaign.
A statue
How
of
much
him.
Money do they need?
Where are they going to put it?
They're looking for 50,000.
Well, no, what will the statue look like?
Gosh, I would hope it would be heroic.
Like that.
Yeah. Like that one. Like
yeah, like the one on the right. The statue...
the Atlas Shrugged look.
The more the they say the more we raise, the bigger the statue can be. At this point, it's a figurine.
Yeah. Right now, it'll be the one of him sitting on the hardwood floor with nothing, no furniture. Just him collapsing.
They do, by the way, have Steve's house is Spanish-style house in this movie.
And
it's
quite, but not the real one.
It's a Hollywood house. It's a grand mansion. And it's furnished with one thing, a giant picture of Albert Einstein. This is the most ham-handed movie I've ever seen. It's anyway, don't go see it. Do yourself a favor. Save it for Netflix.
How is the dialogue, though? How is the Sorkin dialogue?
This is not the Sorkin one.
Oh, this is not the Sorkin.
This is the Ashton Kutcher one. That's the real sad thing. Sony bought the rights to Walter Isaacson's biography.
That's right.
And they're going to produce their own version with Aaron Sorkin writing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the one that just came out actually was meant to be a made-for-TV movie.
Kind of feels like it.
And then it got, because there was so much attention to it, they put it to theaters. So I don't think it was that ambitious from the start. But
were there more people, you know, when you go and you see those ads when you're at the movie theater for come here and watch an opera on the movie screen?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, or
have you
watch
done that?
Bon Jovi live.
Have you done that?
I've never done that. I don't know a soul who's ever done that. Do you think that there are more people that have done that than went to see the Jobs movie?
Yes. I went to an opera and a Jobs movie broke out. That would be funny if they put the wrong reel in.
Right.
Here's a little clip. Now, there are... Look, here's the walk. Watch the walk. Go back. It's just a small thing. But he just walked... Okay, this... Oh, God, I just... He's kind of got this weird, like, bird-like walk. I don't get it. Now, there are some moments in it that are great. For instance, they recreated the first West Coast Computer Fair.
Yep.
And Larry and I were there. You probably were there, too.
And I was there. And by the way, the first West Coast Computer Fair is when they rolled out the Apple II.
Not the one.
No, the one was before that. Before
well,
this.
That was something
the,
app,
the first West Coast Computer Fair, because I heard you talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
They had the Sol 20 and the Apple One, Apple II.
Oh, no, they did. In this movie, they had the Apple II. Yeah, it was the plastic case. It was the two. Yeah. They showed it for the first time at the Homebrew Computer Club to absolute negative response. Nobody was interested. They practically were booing. And I don't remember that being accurate either.
Woz actually told Bloomberg, there's a Bloomberg video of Woz talking about that. And he said that it was not at all true, that first of all, Jobs didn't take him to the club. He'd been there on his own.
Yeah, he was a member.
At the club. That was total fiction.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
That would make sense.
Woz is such a nice guy. I've never heard him say anything bad about anybody, including Steve, when very famously, and this is also in the movie, Steve got an offer from Atari for $5,000 to create Breakout and told Woz, they offered us $700.
Ryan Woz did the work.
And Woz did the work for $350, and Jobs took the rest of the money. When Woz found out about that much later, you know, he was reluctant to say anything bad even then. So you're not going to get Woz.
$700 is good money, I guess, at the time. What difference does it make?
You're not going to get Woz to say anything bad about anybody. The fact that he's even the least bit critical of this movie tells you how bad it is.
And he was only very least bit because he just says, well, you know, it was great, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an offhanded slam.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think I follow him on Facebook, and he was very upset this week because it was his birthday, and too many people wished him happy birthday, and he felt like he had to personally read all the messages, so he stayed up all night.
Everybody.
And so then his complaint was, you guys really shouldn't write to me on my birthday because I feel obliged to look at all of them, and so you're making me stay up all night.
Next year he'll get twice as many.
That's practical. Yeah, I can see him. And his comment was practical. It was like, hey, you want to say something to me? Say something. I need to hear something. You know, not just these meaningless happy birthdays.
All I can say is Steve spends a lot too much time at the Cattleman and Ponderosa. He does, you know, he's on Facebook. He checks in all these places.
Yeah, I had to stop following him on Twitter.
He tweets it.
Foursquare. Okay, I don't care.
He's the mayor of Junk Food Alley. Anyway, we love you, Steve. When they make a Woz movie, make sure they make it right, because that's the movie I want to see, because that is an amazing guy. Amazing guy. Apple up 5%. I think it's more than that. Carl Icahn tweets, I just had a call with Tim Cook, and we've decided to put $1 billion. He bought $1 billion worth of Apple stock.
Wow.
And that was a good move, because Apple went up, they're over $500 now because of that.
Wouldn't his investment alone cause the stock to go up, even if nobody followed him?
But that's precisely the
billion
point.
$1 billion. That's huge.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of shares out there. I don't know.
It's at 502 right now. If you look at the 1 5-day graph, you could see where the tweet happened. And and it just spiked the stock like incredible.
John, you're a stock genius.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. That's why I'm sitting here for on this show. Go on.
But no, I mean, if he mentions that he had this private conversation with Tim Cook,
it should be illegal.
No.
Right. Is that not illegal? I mean, isn't that something he's supposed to disclose to shareholders first?
No. Not the way he presented it. I don't think so.
Well, it depends on what Tim told him, right? The implication of the tweet is Tim told me something that is big.
That was not the implication. No. He had a kind of
speak in general terms? I mean,
he'd go meet the guy. The guys, let's face it, Carl Icahn comes in someplace. The first thing you're not going to do is say, Carl, our next quarter earnings through the roof. There's going to be way over analyst prediction. Get in. Now, that would be a little sketchy.
Does he say, Tim, all right, you can just nod your head up. You can nod your head down. I'm just going to ask you a few questions.
He's not allowed. Tim's not allowed to say anything, right?
He can talk to him. He's not like a person that can't discuss something with some private person in private.
This is the closest that an Apple employee has ever come to tweeting anything, you know?
Right. And it's Carl Icahn.
About the company.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. But
so Icahn.
Unless he told him something that's insider information technically that can be actionable by the FCC, SEC, it's totally legal. Here's what you do. You go and you talk to some guy. This is a great guy. I love this guy. In fact, I actually had a conversation once with Ross Perot, believe it or not, when Steve Jobs was starting Next. And they had chatted with each other. And Perot says, I just like what he said. That was the reason he invested, because he just likes the guy. So Icahn goes in and says, is this a guy I like? Is this a guy you hang out, maybe have a beer? Mm-hmm. I love this guy. I'm investing in the company. That's
going to be an investigation. Mark my words. Rack this tape back, Chad. There's going to be an investigation.
Okay. I think it's a possibility.
It could be a pump and dump. But, I mean, look at the
is what bothers me.
Look at the price jump. So when he talked and tweeted, Apple was at $475. It jumped as a result and has ended the week at $502. That's about, I don't know, a 5% increase. If he bought $1 billion
he
and
made a
sold
lot of money.
It immediately,
that would be questionable. But I had a long conversation with Horowitz about this, where do you draw the line at pump and dump? I mean, it seems to me that, you know, there's people tweeting stuff. There's that thing with the head of Netflix who tweeted the situation, you know, something about his stock is going to really rock. And then they sued him. And then it turns out now that Twitter is enough of a public forum that now
that's considered public.
Yeah. So there's a public comment. So if the stock goes up, that this is like making an announcement or a press release.
That's interesting.
And so this is sketchy.
Who is what is he? What do they call him? An activist investor. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who's causing all sorts of problems right now at Dell.
Artist.
With the Dell. Yeah. And he's got enough cash. He can move in with a big position, $1 billion. What he wants, it turns out, is for Apple to buy back more stock. And in fact, his subsequent tweet was, had a nice conversation with Tim Cook today, discussed my opinion that a larger buyback should be done now. We plan to speak again shortly. And the impression that one would get from this is, oh, good, Carl's buying $1 billion. He must think there's a big buyback coming.
If a buyback comes, it changes the price earnings ratio, and usually the stock goes up. It's something of a scam. And this maybe went in there to lecture Tim Cook. Who knows what the conversation was like, but whatever the case.
Guarantee you Tim didn't say, you know, you're right, Carl. We're going to buy more stock back.
All he has to do is nod his head. You know,
I like your theory, Clayton.
Carl says, I'm thinking about buying a new timepiece for my wrist. It's just an idea I have. Should I buy it now or should I wait till after the holidays?
I guess
Tim says,
You should be a mobster. That's the way the mob operates.
Would you wear
scratch your head if anything I say sounds good to you.
I think the point really is that it isn't anything to do with new technologies, although many of us assumed that, well, September 10th is coming. Maybe there's a big announcement. It has more to do with the stock buyback than anything else.
Well,
however,
that's the whole thing. I mean, the market often does not reflect the reality of the real market, the consumer market. And in many ways, I get annoyed when I get calls all the time. They want me to comment on the market jump, and it just doesn't correlate to the real world of what you and I are buying in the stores.
Right. My other question, we should take a break and come back. My other question has more to do with the iPhone and the iWatch and what Apple's going to announce September 10th. Not so much with Carl Icahn.
Well, tell us now.
Well, let's take a break and come back. We'll talk about the new iPhone. Have a snack. It's a good time to get your blood sugar going and
need it.
Feel better.
Good broadcast tease.
Broadcast tease, which somebody correctly informed me that on a podcast makes no sense because it just means they're going to skip right through what I'm about to say next to go to the next thing.
It doesn't. It makes no sense.
You can do that on television, too, with a DVR.
Yeah. Don't you hate it that DVRs were invented, Clayton?
Ruining. I'm telling you, man.
Ruining the world for the rest of us. Let a guy call me. I had a guy call the radio show. I love it. Called the radio show today, said, there's this new thing called DVD-R.
DVD-R.
I said, I don't think that's new. I think that's been around for like 20 years. I don't know. Recordable DVDs. Yeah. But I have a bunch of VHS tapes and laser discs.
Oh, my God.
And laser discs.
Very few of them are good.
And I love them. I have a whole collection of them, by the way.
Do you?
Laser discs?
I do. I do. Up at Lake Tinky Winky. I have a whole... They're so heavy and they're massive. I have a whole shelf.
Have you tried to play them recently? Because most of them have laser rot. They're all shot.
That's good. Actually, I just dug the laser disc player out of storage and I set it... I put it on the shelf with the intention of the next time I'm there to plug it in and fire it up. Because I got to be honest with you, there are actually a lot of those Criterion Edition discs that I have and some of those other ones that they've never reproduced on DVD. They've never released them for streaming or available to download
Hulu
anywhere
Plus
else.
Has all the Criterions, believe
That's
it or not.
That's true. Yes, they do. You're right.
So the guys, I said, how you like them, Lazy? He said, well, I don't like getting up to flip them over halfway through the movie, but other than that, they're great.
He's even got one that doesn't flip it over.
What?
You could go and pee by the time it took my Panasonic one to flip over.
So the rot is the metal backing, which has to reflect the laser.
Apparently,
it oxidizes.
And they're huge. And so the likelihood of getting a big seal on a device that big, I suppose a little one.
Same thing happens with DVDs, but less likely.
Right, because they're smaller and you have a better those leverages are different. But yeah, most laser discs are no good.
Oh, that's sad. We have a...
There's one brand in particular. No one, they're just gone.
Don't we have a Star Wars laser disc over there?
My copy of Sabrina is ruined.
Could be.
Well, wait a minute, though. Now, is it the Greg Kinnear Sabrina or is it the Humphrey Bogart Sabrina?
You know why? I bought this movie. This is the romantic in me. I had a date with a girl that I really liked, and we watched it this night, and I just had this. And I went and bought the Laserdisc after we had this date, and
Best sex you ever had, huh, Clayton?
Yeah. So, no, I think, you know, I think I don't even think I kissed her.
Well, we're on the...
Humphrey Bogart wouldn't.
Well, we're on the topic. I think the irony to this whole thing is that the RCA Select divisions are probably still work.
This is a Select division capacitive electronic disc.
Craziest thing.
They would eject
1984.
Out of it.
The Select division is actually hard. It's like a stamping.
Yeah.
It's like
a record.
It's like a record with a needle.
Look at that.
Like because I have the newer versions of the Star Wars laser discs, so I don't have the older version. So the older versions are lasting better than the newer ones.
Classic.
If you had the capacity.
Classic.
Well, but you got to get one of them RCA Select Division players.
You can get them at flea markets. They're about $4.
look at it. Looks like Han Solo might get a kiss.
So when did you buy this, and how much did it cost at the time?
They were like $50 or something, weren't they?
More expensive, yeah.
Oh, it was. I think I spent all of my savings to get that Laserdisc player. It was like $600 or something
so
ridiculous.
Cute. And you had the original Sabrina with Katharine Hepburn or Audrey Hepburn.
No,
or?
I had the newer one. I had the one with Harrison Ford. But I had a whole collection of
Harrison
Ford. I'm a huge Sting fan, and they're all of these concerts that they're never been reproduced anywhere else.
Leo, the guy who called you on the radio, was he using a phone like this?
Exactly.
Dial.
He was, I'm up on the grapevine, he said.
You're Leo.
And this is a yellow. He probably had a black one. The yellow. The new one.
Harrison Ford was Sabrina? Now, that's an unusual version. I don't think I saw that version.
You see the Harrison Ford? It was Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
right?
It was Harrison Ford, Greg Kinnear. Yeah. I don't know who played Sabrina on that one. Was it Beyonce?
Oh, she was beautiful. No, it wasn't Beyonce. It was,
too bad there's no way that you can find that stuff out. You got to go to the library.
She was too much work.
Juliette Ormond?
Yeah, she was beautiful.
Yeah. It's a good thing Natalie never watches the show.
Nicole Kidman was in that? Was she in that? No.
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 I think we're gone far enough straight. Okay. We can do the ad.
I was trying to think of the most embarrassing Laserdisc that I owned.
What is the most embarrassing?
Yes, what is it?
When we return, Clayton Morris reveals the most embarrassing Laserdisc he's ever owned. But right now, a word from the great folks. We were talking about Squarespace. You may remember a guy named Dane Atkinson, who was one of the founders of Squarespace. He has a new company, which I love. We've talked about it before, called SumAll. It has been an insane month for SumAll. 20% growth over the last month. Now 60,000 companies and customers are using it. It's a data analytics service, gives you the kind of business intelligence the big guys have for you for free. And there's lots of value in it. You connect all your services, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Blogger, Tumblr, Google Analytics, Bitly. Look at all the Amazon. They've merged it all in together into one big blob. PayPal, Authorize.net, AdWords, Shopify, Bing. And then they've just added Instagram, Foursquare, Tumblr, Blogger, Moz, Stripe, Braintree, BigCommerce, and more. So if you're doing commerce, if you have, for instance, a Squarespace platform and using Stripe for your e-commerce, you add that to the analytics, and suddenly you're getting great analytics, great information, great presentations. You're connecting all your services. And here's something really exciting. SumAll has announced an API, which means you and your customers are going to get improved modern analytics and integrate that into the stuff you've got internally. You can get personalized daily or weekly emails. They're going to have a mobile app, or you could have a mobile app for your data. SumAll, if you want to get in line and get going on that new SumAll API, visit sumall.com/developer. Make sure you mention Twit when you do that. It's kind of hard to describe this. Are these analytics for your show, Chad, or what is...
Yeah, so right now I'm looking at a cross-section of my followers versus how many new subscriptions I've gotten on YouTube.
And then you could cross-correlate that with tweets, for instance.
Right, or let's say that I wanted to check out...
your tweet campaign benefited you, or how much it benefited you, kind of thing.
Or see if I want to check out multiple days based off of each other so I can layer them on top of each other. And see, well, did this week perform better than this week? How did it, if it did perform?
Love the idea that they got an API. So I think there are a lot of companies now who are thinking about creating analytics tools. This will get you set up. No credit card needed. You could try it for free. NPR is using it. Starbucks is using it. National Geographic. 60,000 companies now using SumAll. And you can do it, too. Reserve your spot in the SumAll API at SumAll, SumAll.com/developer. Liz is doing it right now.
I'm signing up, but I have to say, it looks like SumAll to me.
Well, you're summing it all.
Okay.
See? Summing all your data, aggregating. They could have called it aggregate all, but nobody would know how to spell it. SumAll.com/developer. And you know what we'll do? We'll find out what people are doing, and we'll talk about it on a future show. If you mention Twit, Dane will get back to us. Dane is a neat guy, very interesting entrepreneur, and I think this is nice to meet you, Lizzie. Isn't that cool? Now, this is what's really great is business intelligence has been around for a while. It's very expensive, big data and all that, and to make this available for everybody is huge. Really fascinating. SumAll.com. Apple is showing a teaser in movie theaters. Why they didn't buy Jobs, I don't know, for the new Mac Pro. Have you seen I haven't seen it in a movie theater, but this is coming soon to a movie near you.
So you go to, wait, let me get this straight.
Now, is it the same one? It's not the same one they showed at WWDC.
I don't know. Let's
right?
see.
It's
Let's watch it. Here it is. This is, yeah, it is. That's the same one.
With okay,
the,
let
with
me get
the sun
this straight.
And the moon and
you
the,
pay well, no, money, it's, lots it's, of money to go into a movie theater to watch a movie and they show you ads?
Oh, they do?
No.
Sure.
Well, yeah, of course. They have a half hour ads.
Trailer for an, this is an ad.
This is an awesome ad. Is that from the? Is that the music?
From WWC.
Sounds like Ozzy.
Yeah. That's the music.
How many people are going to buy this computer?
I am.
Because
I got no sense at all.
So loud. Theater machine.
Maniac.
Wow. Do you really need that powerful a computer?
Everybody, you sound like an old person.
Nobody needs more than 640 megabytes of RAM.
You should always buy the newest, fastest machine you can. I've been to a movie. I go to all the 3D movies.
I've read the John Dvorak columns back in the 80s, and
I'm getting one with 128 kilobytes, John, because that's got so
everybody
much power.
Knows I have the fastest machine available.
Actually, this was from this clip was from the WWDC, but apparently that's the one, at least according to 9to5 Mac, that they're going to show at.
Oh, I think.
Or Mac Rumors.
Well, I don't know. I'm confused about that. 9to5 Mac says that it seems like no one has seen it. No one knows what it looks like. It's similar to this, but this is the one from WWDC months ago.
Right.
It seems to me that there's a new one that's out in theaters that no one has to grab with an iPhone.
So, guys, next time you go to the movies, get your camcorder, bring it along with you. I'm sure the ushers won't mind.
No, they love that.
I'm just taping the trailer. Don't mind me. Because I'd like to see it.
Where's your Google Glass?
Send Apple a note, and they'll send you a copy over the
So, Clayton, have you got your tickets for September 10th? Are you flying out here?
They did this to me last year. I tried to. You know what?
It's you, Clayton. They're doing it to you personally.
They are.
And Leo. You're not invited.
No, I figured I'm going to book this trip. I was going to surprise my wife with a little getaway, just no kids in 4 days, and I planned it, booked it. Because last year they had their announcement at the end of September into October. So I thought I'm safe. By going early right after Labor Day, I'll be good. No. Then as soon as I book the trip, they planned this trip, so I'm pissed.
Well, September – we don't know because it's not official, but I think when all things D – says it, right?
It's
right,
happening.
You know it's happening, right, Liz?
Yes.
And in fact, as soon as John Pachowski published that, or no, it was Ina Fried, published that in All Things D, my friend Renee Ritchie Dymore says, I got a call right after that from a very good source confirming it. And then, of course, we know it's
Dalrymple.
True because Dalrymple said, yep.
Right.
Jim Dalrymple of The Loop apparently is somehow like the guy. And if he says, yep, that's just written in stone. You might as well just book the flight. But everybody agrees.
One word.
Yep.
One word. Well, it's true.
That's
it's
great.
Yep. He literally, you think I'm joking? No, he literally posted YEP on his blog.
Not YUP. I find that interesting.
Yeah.
No, that's his fault.
When you said yep, I thought it was YIP.
His trademark yep.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Got it.
Jim's a heavy metal fan. I don't know why I mentioned that. His Twitter picture is him with Ozzy Osbourne together.
I think it's going to be an exciting fall. But will there be two? There be two Apple events like there was last year?
I think that Apple now is planning to do that September 10th.
And will they webcast? That's the other interesting question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do they have an iOS 7 date?
They have not set a specific date, but they did the fifth beta last week. I think it's very close to done. I think that it's likely that they will have iOS 7. When they have the new iPhone, which will likely be shortly after September 10th.
October, usually?
Usually it's a week or two, maybe three. Right?
The new Maverick
like 7 days, isn't it? Just like
usually
a
it's a week,
day.
Yeah. Or like you can order next out? Thursday and we'll have it, a week. I don't know.
Here's the bet for you.
What?
Do you think that when the new iPhone comes out that we will have the phenomenon of the lines around the block at the Apple Store?
No.
You say no.
Never again.
You say never again.
No. Never again.
Why do you say this?
Because there's too much diversity in the market. It's like Pinterest. There's too much that's fractured now.
So you're saying there's not going to be a line.
And I say that as somebody who waited 6 hours to get the first iPhone.
I think it's a combination of, first of all, pre-ordering online. A lot of people don't need
to
go
online. I think there's
going to
be a line.
There haven't been lines in years.
No, it hasn't been years. And it also depends on what they announce. I mean, if they announce something that's really groundbreaking, maybe. But if it's what most people think it's going to be, a minor upgrade, a few bells and whistles, I don't see long lines. And I think Leo is right. I mean, people are buying all sorts of phones these days. Apple no longer dominates the market. So they may manufacture a line, but I don't think there'll be a natural one.
Where's your HTC One?
It's in a home, resting, comfortably. Why?
It's a beautiful phone.
I love the One. The Galaxy S4, I'm a little off because it's got so much cruft on it. There's the One, beautiful. Yep. I have the Moto X here, which I think is going to be a black horse. I think that's going to be
a black horse.
Dark horse? Is that what you're saying?
A dark horse. Black horse.
Like the Black Stallion?
It's going to be
Can I see that?
It's going to be Black Beauty.
Well, I understand you stood up at the meeting and said this is an Apple iPhone killer.
I did not.
So how do
First
I take a
all,
picture?
Okay.
Like shake it around. What do you do to take a picture?
Yeah, you shake it.
Okay, Google now.
Like that. Okay. And it takes a picture very quickly, too, because you just tap it to take the picture.
But if you're shaking it, how can you take a picture?
Have you used that service much at all? I mean, I set it up, okay, Google now.
No, it's like Siri, where if it's not 100% perfect, Actually, I used it in my dreams last night, which I thought was very strange.
This is bad.
I actually did math. Have you ever done math in your dreams?
No, I don't. I try to avoid math in my dreams.
It was very odd.
I like to get what I like to do is I like to know I'm in a dream, and then you can have some fun. But it's to stay asleep in the, under those circumstances is quite difficult.
It's difficult because as soon as you know you're in a dream, you wake up.
You start to wake up, and you try to force. Mm. No! I don't want to wake up. I'll ignore this.
So for some reason, I'm trying to. Somebody and I are having a debate, very much like on this show, about how much money Kmart makes with the in-store announcements. Because
you're becoming a very mercantile person since you started this company.
I have no idea why this.
You talk
was in
about
my mind.
Valuations. You're talking
so
about
I'm
Kmart
talking with
sales.
One of our former co-op interns, Jeff Needles, and he's saying, "Oh, they don't make any money on that." I said, "No, those are ads, and let's estimate they're doing maybe 50 a day, and that they have they charge $5 each." And I'm starting to do math in my head, and then I said, "The question is how many stores they have." And I literally, in my sleep, I said, okay, Google now, how many stores does Kmart have? Now, the funny thing is, in my dream, it didn't do a good job of this. It actually does this perfectly. See, if they've got 1,307
stores. That is kind of creepy that it was sitting there listening to us that whole time. And as soon as he said that, it just woke up.
Isn't that weird? And it gave me the answer. But in the dream, it gave me the wrong answer. It said 22,000. And I said, well, that means they're making $150 million a year. I did the math in my head, how much they were making a year.
This is weird, you know.
Is that creepy or weird or what?
Well, I don't think it's creepy. It's just weird.
Well, what's creepy, do you find also with the Moto X? Because I've been really enjoying it. I was a big fan.
I didn't ask it right.
Five.
If I do it right, it does. Actually, it does.
And the HTC One I love. But this Moto X, I've been carrying it in my pocket pretty much nonstop. I find it creepy that whenever I glance at the screen, it'll just pop up the time. But it knows.
Yes.
It's almost like it knows when. Oh, there.
By the way, it's 1,307 stores. I should mention the app.
It's letting me know what time it is.
I like that. That's the little sleep thing. Yeah.
Right. But also the fact that, to Liz's point, that it's constantly listening. I'm stunned at how great the battery life is in this.
So the other thing that it does, which is cool, we mentioned this before, but I've got it paired with the Bluetooth here, so it's unlocked when I'm next to my computer. So because the OK Google Now does not work when you're locked. Maybe that's why I did it again. That's why it didn't work in my dreams because my phone wasn't unlocked. Maybe
I think it's really time.
It's a dream. There's a lot of reasons
to understand
it didn't work.
Context better because that's
no
a really
rationale.
Much better experience that it's connected by Bluetooth to your computer. And it should be. Does it do that when you're getting your car? Does it know your Bluetooth in your car?
Yeah, once you've paired
and then it sends text messages.
And then it says,
"Do you want that
to be authenticated? You want that to be a permission to unlock?" And you say yes. And then, they have this this thing where you set it up with the Motorola Assist where when you're driving, how does it read stuff to you?
This is kind of a pet cause, but I think we are woofully unaddressing the lack of safety. We are not – it is the – we are terribly unsafe when we're driving our cars with our phones nearby. We have
self-control. This will – if I don't pick up, it'll send a text. I'm driving, and I'll get back to you soon. Yeah. Unfortunately, it says sent by Motorola Assist, and you can't edit that.
Oh,
it drives me nuts.
So one advantage of the Google phone is that when you're driving, you can get directions without even – like with Apple, you've got to touch the Siri button. And, of course, you get directions come on Apple Maps, which I hate. But with Google, you could actually get car directions without taking your hands off the wheel. I think that's a good thing.
So I guess the point is that Apple is entering a very crowded space with some – I mean, I'm not saying the Motorola X is the best phone or the HTC One is the best phone or the Galaxy S4 is the best phone. But there are some really good phones out there.
Now you're hedging your bet.
No, I'm just saying that the whole reason we brought this up –
like the Nokia 1020, I mean, it's got a beautiful 1020.
Look at that giant phone he's got. That thing's
huge. I wouldn't buy the 1020. Mostly, I love
like
the camera.
A monster.
But I just would rather bring a decent camera because I don't want to have to use a Windows phone.
It looks like a girl's phone.
Is it waterproof? It looks like it should be waterproof.
Well, look at this camera thing, this lens.
It shoots
on
beautiful
like,
more
huge.
Heels.
It looks clunky. I don't know why.
It fits your hand. I have small hands. It fits.
The images are amazing, I have to say.
Amazing.
They really are good. For a camera.
Rob Greenlee from Windows writes, he's watching the show right now, and he says, by the way, just want to point out that Twit is still available in the Zune marketplace.
Thanks to Rob Greenlee, by the way. Thank you, Rob, for keeping us in there. Windows Phone is kind of a sad story. Well, by the way, speaking of sad stories, this is the week BlackBerry finally said, we're going to throw in the towel, I think. They said, we're looking for a buyer. And Windows Phone had the same problem, which is it came to the market late. BlackBerry missed the market by 6 years. Windows Phone only 3 years. But still, it's a crowded market. And if you don't get mindshare early on, Windows Phone is about 3.7% of the market worldwide. And it's tough when you've got Android just eating it up. Apple taking the
I
left.
I would think that that camera phone, 41 megapixel phone, that the giant...
That's the best bet. Huh?
Orange looking thing.
Yeah.
If it was better designed, I think that would... I think I would get one of those.
Would you? You like cameras. Have you used Windows Phone much? I mean, I know you use Android.
I've
now.
Used the early ones.
Yeah.
I think it's not that bad, but it doesn't have any apps and it's not as much fun. You can't. There's no flashlight. I don't know, maybe there is.
Right. You want to watch YouTube on this. Good luck.
And you can't use YouTube because of...
Well, that's another story. Okay, you want conspiracy theory?
Yeah, that's all we live for. Theories.
I got a conspiracy theory. We'll talk in a moment about...
another teaser.
Am I the only person in the world that actually still carries a digital camera around with me?
I carry one.
The quality,
that's the thing. With this Nokia, though, I was walking down the street shooting some photos of a street fair, and I'll post some on my Google Plus page a little bit later if anyone wants to see them.
No.
Beautiful. Shallow depth of field, John. I walk around with my Sony NEX-7 a lot and get some great, with a 50 prime lens and do some nice shots. But I'm telling you what, if you have a phone like this in your pocket,
having it with you is key, isn't it?
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, that's really
it's unfortunate.
I mean, some of the stuff. Go ahead. Sorry, Larry.
No, I think you have so many phones right there on your shelf. I mean, I can't imagine you're actually carrying that one around with you as opposed to the 40 other ones that you have sitting on your shelf.
Yeah, Clayton, do you carry the 1020? Is that your daily driver, as they say?
I switched off the HTC One. These are the three phones that I'm carrying in my
I don't know why I'm laughing. I have five. So.
Does it count as carrying when you're
sitting? I got more phones than you do.
Have you seen this basket, Leo?
Oh, my God.
This is where they wind up. This is where phones go to die in my house.
That's the basket for remote-controlled guns.
Yeah, well, there used to be remote-controlled phones.
I mean, I abandoned the Galaxy S4 within, just a few days. I mean, that was, because of the bloatware on that thing. But
me, too. I gave up on that because of the bloatware.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But you can get it without it.
You can buy one from Google now that doesn't have the bloatware.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's also kind of cheap and plasticky.
The Galaxy S4 is supposed to be this great phone.
I was very disappointed with it in the long run.
That's what all the advertisements everywhere say.
The camera, I was not a fan of the camera.
I like the camera on it, but it's wonky. It crashes as much as it launches, which is not a good thing.
The Moto X just feels great in the hand.
This is a surprise because it doesn't jump out at you, and yet it's kind of friendly. It's a friendly little phone.
I like the size, too.
The size
is
good.
It's got a nice feel. I think this is not too heavy.
I don't think it's an iPhone killer, but I think it's going to appeal to the iPhone. You're an iPhone user, Liz.
Yeah, I have an iPhone and I have a Nexus 4, which nobody likes.
You can flip it like this. Look.
I think it's going to... Actually, John's using the Nexus 4. It's going to appeal to iPhone users because it's somehow not overwhelming. The Galaxy S4 is overwhelming.
Yeah, they kept it fairly simple.
Really, way too many features. I had a production manager today who just showed me. Said, "I just got this. Just got the Galaxy S4." And he said, "I haven't even begun to scratch the surface on the amount of features and things and customizable things in here." I said, "Oh, in 2015, you'll be done customizing it," which is the truth. There's so many little things in there, and then of course they're aware of it. Samsung's aware of it, so they create the easy mode.
Right.
Yep.
That's what my mom's using.
Another feature.
Yeah. Let's be honest. That's the mode it should ship with.
Right. No, the people I know who have in my life, my family members who have a Galaxy S4 who are not techie, all are running it in the easy mode.
You know, the thing about smartphones, really? If you think about it, is how many hundreds of thousands of Android and iOS apps are there, right? Probably between them over a million. So if you think about it, any feature that you really want on a smartphone, you could just download an app for it. So why not just keep it simple and not burden these phones with so many apps and just let people choose whatever they want? Most people are going to want the basics and some people are going to want weird apps, and there are plenty out there.
They've been trying to do differentiation, right? Because Android is so generic. This is the different. However, I think there's a backlash, and I think Moto X might be the first wave of this where people are saying, no, you know what? I want pure Android.
And you know, the thing is, does Samsung think it has better interface designers than Google? Because guess what? Google actually has really good designers. I mean, the audacity of these cell phone companies thinking that they can improve on what Google's UI designers. It's absurd.
Some of this, though, is historic. And I talked to Rich Overholt, who was the guy at Motorola who showed us the Moto X, but was the guy who created Moto Blur, which was the worst, by the way, carrier or a handset manufacturer adaptation of Android. I said, Rich, Moto Blur, you want to take credit for that? He said, well, you got to understand that Android version 2.3.3, Gingerbread, was terrible. Wasn't really ready for end users. We had to do stuff. But I think that that's changed, and I think that's what he said, and he's responsible for this. It's good enough now. Jelly Bean is so simple, yeah, clean,
good enough,
fast. It's great. It's in fact,
the interoperability between apps, Leo, I think is the key, right? I did like an informal survey on social media just a few days ago because I was curious about this. I posted it up to tons of people on Google Plus, Facebook, all over. What five apps are you using? Doesn't matter, Android, iOS, whatever. What five things do you launch every day which you find indispensable? So I went through these and began to collate some of this. Overwhelmingly, the top 1, 2, and 3 responses were all social media. Yeah. And so in Android, the ability to share with one click from any app, yeah, to any of the things you have installed, whereas in iOS, 2, 3, 4 clicks sometimes to get into the app, then to share it to that place or to move it over here.
It's easy
can't,
if right you're going to share it to an Apple-approved place like Facebook or Twitter.
Right.
Not so easy otherwise. Apple controls it. Let me show you. I just took a picture of you and Liz on my Moto X. One of the things I like about the camera app is you slide it over to get to the gallery. And here's the share button. Now, it shows me what I shared to last
That's
up
on
here,
most of the Androids,
which is Instagram. All of the Androids do this. But then it shows me the next three that I've used, the most common. And then if I see all these are, instead of Apple's, very
That's such a better experience.
Dearth of, yeah. It's got everything I've installed that I could reasonably share to, including my television set, Tumblr, Flipboard, Sketch, Evernote, Foursquare, is on this sheet. Now, Apple users might look at that and go, well, that's overwhelmingly too much. But I think they handled it well because they show me one.
The last one.
Then they show me three. Then they show me all. And it will remember the ones that I've used the most. I think that's an example of Google, after many iterations, will be fair, getting it right. And and I bet you we're now in a different situation where companies that over-customize are going to be losing.
Good.
And that companies that make it pretty much a clean Google experience are going to do better. And this Moto X, that's a perfect example. I don't even use a launcher on this because I wanted to say, what does it really look like if you just out of the box, the plain experience.
Have you guys used the Chromecast yet?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I've been really enjoying that.
Oh, man.
It's really fun to fight over what's going to show next.
Oh, man.
It's like the perfect device for watching Vine compilation videos.
That's why they made
YouTube.
It.
I was sitting there the other night. My wife and I were just, within the Android, here's the difference between the iOS YouTube app and the YouTube app for Android, unless I'm completely wrong about this. But I don't find a very easy way to find the trending videos within the iOS app. In fact, I don't think it's there at all. It's not a major link right inside the app. And so,
but Google makes both these apps, so it's not Apple's fault.
Why don't they have the trending version? I don't know, but they just left it out. So sitting there just on the Chromecast launching the YouTube app, and we watched like the top 5 trending videos on YouTube, and we loved them. We watched the Manning brothers do that DirecTV football ad,
the top five.
And like, it was funny, but like, I wouldn't have known that these were the videos, and I enjoyed all 5 of them.
Right. And so the point with Chromecast is if you're in a network that has Chromecast on it on the Wi-Fi, you get a little button and you can say, we were doing something similar last night. We're going to Italy. We want to learn Italian hand gestures. So I said, well, wait. Oh, I could throw this on the TV. I look it up on YouTube, throw it up on the TV. We're watching on 50-inch TV watching Italian hand gestures.
Can you demo?
Yes. Show us one.
Okay. So
what's the good one?
You might think in America, if you said something's a good idea, you'd do this.
Yeah.
Means say pazzo. You're crazy.
Yeah.
If it's a good idea, you do this. I don't know why.
Like you're crying?
Yeah,
like,
weird,
like,
huh?
Like a mom.
And then there's this. I don't know what this. I can't remember. And delicioso. See, I learned something.
Yeah.
That YouTube's great. This going places.
Boy, I'll tell you. It's
so
amazing what you can learn on YouTube.
About what happened between Microsoft and Google over the YouTube app on Windows Phone. Yeah. Big fight going on. We'll talk about it in just a second.
Oh, another teaser.
Well, I did it
the last one didn't work.
Did the last teaser get interrupted?
Work, and then you guys.
It didn't stick.
It didn't stick.
It's got to stick. Are you having fun, live audience, live studio audience?
No,
this is good.
Yeah,
you're enjoying this. All right.
You know what? I think it'd be cooler if they threw stuff at us.
You know what we could do?
It's like the opposite of Oprah.
We could provide them. Oh, yeah. Throw your wallets, your keys, money of any kind would be welcome.
That would be okay.
No batteries. Our show today brought to you by audible.com. It's a great place. Now 150,000 books, lectures. They've got the great courses on here, radio shows, comedy performances. If you are interested in keeping up with the great variety of literature, fiction and nonfiction, coming out all the time, you know, if you're like me, it's hard to find time to read a book. I fall asleep in bed when I start to read. Having an audio book is so fabulous because you can listen in those times when you have to be awake, like driving a car.
Or think a little more advanced.
Dreams
you fall asleep.
Yeah.
The book is still going. You wake up in the morning. You're a genius.
I wish it worked that way, that you would like remember what you heard.
Yeah.
You don't. You have to start over when you do that. But you know, the Audible app has a little timer.
How about somebody hypnotizing you?
And then you slap the things on. So one of the things I like to do before the movie comes out, and I'll tell you, Ender's Game is coming out. And while I'm sure this will be a great movie, you must agree with me on this, Clayton. You got to read the book first, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It'd be a waste because it has one of the greatest twists in science fiction history. And it'd be a true waste to see it in the movie. And then you read the book, you know what's going to happen. Don't you think, Liz, you agree?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis doesn't know that he's dead.
Yeah. He's. Oh, God, you ruined it. Anyway, he is actually, it turns out, he's Liz Gaines' father. I just feel like there's some books that you really ought to give the book the precedence over the movie, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the movie's better. But so, by the way, they have a whole page now on great books that you should read before you read the movie. And this is really fun. And everything. By the way, they have kids' books. These are by genre. A kid should read My Secret Garden before they see the movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The Wizard of Oz. Don't see that James Franco thing. Read the original.
There's a James Franco thing?
Yeah, he's the Wizard of Oz.
When was this? I don't remember either.
Oh, horrible.
No, it was called, like, Return... What was it?
That's right. It was called something else.
The Wizard.
Oz.
The Wizard or something like that.
The Lorax. Ted Danson. You want to hear a great book? Ted Danson reading The Lorax. Now, that's going to be great for a little kid. Oh, yeah. A lot of celebrity read. They get the best readers in the world. Here's the deal. You're going to get two books from Audible.com. The hard thing is going to be figure out what the two books are. I want you to visit audible.com/twit2. You'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That's two books a month. You sign up. You don't pay anything for the first 30 days. You get the two books. You can quit in the first 30 days and pay nothing. And the books are yours to keep. But you're going to want to stick around. I know you are. And especially, just do it for Ender's Game. Just listen to, please, listen to the book before you... Or, you know, if you have to read the book before you see the movie. I'm sure the movie's going to be great. But it's just one of those books.
What about the Steve Jobs movie, the book?
Oh, Walter Isaacson book is so much better than the movie.
Saw.
Yeah. Read the Walter Isaacson book or listen to it. They have it on Audible. Fabulous. Dylan Baker does a great job narrating it. Look, here's The King's Speech. Did you know that was a book before it was a movie? The new story of the Navy SEALs who rescued Captain Phillips from the Somali pirates. That movie's coming out. This is the book that's based on A Captain's Duty by Richard Phillips. You can listen to the book. And then I did I really enjoyed Zero Dark Thirty. It was a great movie. But I also read the book by the Navy SEAL, and it was a great kind of companion piece. All I'm saying is there's some great stuff, fiction, nonfiction, literature, science fiction, waiting for you at audible.com. Visit today. Figure out what you're going to get. And those first two books are yours for free if you go to audible.com/twit2. audible.com/twit2. I know Clayton's an audiobook lover.
I am, but I've been... You know what? That's one of the reasons I've been using Android so much lately, because I may or may not know someone who's using iOS 7 with whom Audible's app may not be working properly right now.
That sucks.
So every time I launch it, it crashes, even with the latest builds where everything else is working.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I love the Audible app because it syncs up. So I have, you know, when you're somebody like Clayton or Larry with like a basket full of phones and you launch the Audible app, it says on the other phone, you know, I literally get messages like on Leo's Android phone number 28, you got up to, you know, page 400. Would you like to jump there? I literally get messages like that.
Oh, the Whisper Sync stuff is fantastic,
love
too.
Between, with the books. Yeah.
Amazon owns Audible, correct?
Yes.
So you have all the Whisper Sync stuff, too, which is great.
You can listen to a book on a Kindle on the HD and watch the book, the text. This would be a good way for a kid to learn to read. Watch the text go by. It highlights the text as it reads it out loud. If you stop reading it, it'll pick it up in the audio. Vice versa. If you stop the audio, it'll pick up in the text.
Yeah, I mean, any technology that uses, like, puts just one word on the screen at a time is really fantastic.
I was just going to ask you this.
Did Amazon get sued over that, Leo, about the reading out loud with the Authors Guild or somebody sued them?
Oh, the authors. Oh, no, no. When the Kindle e-ink came out.
Right.
In version 2, they added the ability to, in a mechanical voice, read the book.
Right, right.
And the Authors Guild sued and said, no. So they had to put in a switch, a kill switch, that the publisher could say whether that would be available or not. And that's really a sad thing, because for accessibility alone, this was a huge benefit to blind readers.
And it's not like it's going to kill Audible or any other
mechanical
good audio reading really service where a human being, an actor or the author actually reads the book out loud.
That's a good segue to my conspiracy theory, because at the time, I was pretty sure Jeff Bezos, he's a smart guy, knew that this was never going to fly. And probably, if in a normal business environment would say, let's talk to the publishers, and they're going to say, no, don't do it, and he wouldn't release it. But he wanted to make sure that the publishers got the heat for this, not him. So he released it full bore and let them sue him. And he looks like the good guy, and they look like the bad guy, as they are. And I think that was a smart, I guess that's the chess game Bezos played.
And now Jeff's the publisher. He owns the newspaper.
Yes, indeed. We'll see what happens with that.
By the way, a slight correction here. Hunter writes me on Twitter and says, Audible app works fine for me on iOS 7. Maybe reinstall it. I'm going to try. That would, by the way, be the only app that hasn't worked with beta updates, I've heard.
Because you don't have it.
I'm going to check that out and see.
I have intentionally not installed iOS 7. It looks so horrible to me. I'm really dreading this.
Have
you come to like it?
At least from what I've heard. And when I look at Windows Phone, which I thought was really had a really clean, advanced look to it, and I sit next to it now with what I've heard iOS 7 looks like and all
of
these
updates.
Why
are you so concerned about that? Or theoretically, why are you
Because
so
he's
concerned?
Holding one of them, and he's an undisclosed.
Because if you're a developer, the only people who can install iOS 7 are people who paid $99 and are developers. Part of the agreement you sign to become a developer is that you will not speak of it.
You cannot talk.
It's like Fight Club. You can be in it, but you can't speak of it. So we don't
know.
Just
like that.
We don't know if you are in Fight Club, Clayton. But if you were, you couldn't tell us.
No, he can wink or have a twitch.
Right.
Touch your nose.
I can scratch something.
Scratch something. No,
I'm
that's not
something right now.
You're doing that all show, Leo.
So, Clayton, is Read Quick? I know you got an update. Has it come out yet? We're waiting for it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you know what? So, I was hoping that right before the show, the iPhone version of my app, Read Quick, which is the speed reading app for the iPad, have been working for the last 8 to 9 months on the iPhone version. It's still in review, and I was hoping by the end of Twit, it may be available to download. But by the time, hopefully, if anyone's downloading Twit in the next day, it should be ready to download.
Because it's only been iPad up to now, but now it'll be on the iPhone. And just, can you see my screen chat or not? Yeah. So this is what it looks like. The idea of Read Quick, because Clayton's like a fan of the Evelyn Wood, all this speed reading stuff. He created this app where it's one word at a time. Now, you set the speed. And what's interesting is you actually can absorb this way. And it teaches you, right, Clayton? It teaches you to read faster.
So Peter Rojas, our mutual friend who started, most humans read naturally about 300 words a minute. And Peter was saying he's up to like 650 words a minute.
Wow.
And he was helping me with the app way back when. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, I'm up to about 500 words per minute. But most human beings, they read out loud to themselves. And the idea is that you want to get past the point of verbalizing every word to yourself. And your brain actually sees every word as a photograph. And so the number one request we had from our users was, we want an iPhone version. We want an iPhone version. You're standing in line at the post.
Let me ask you, though. Is the screen on the iPhone big enough to show one word at a time?
Yeah, it is. And
okay,
we just added landscape support in our beta version. So when on launch, you'll have landscape support.
What are you doing in the Android version, dude?
Yeah, that's another big question we keep getting is when are you guys going to do an Android version? So
is it hard?
This was the next.
Really, is it hard to write a program that displays one word on a time on the screen?
I mean, because so many people wanted to be able to have pauses for 15 letter words or longer, just enough.
Oh.
So they I agree with them, but there are all these little refinements. So what type, how is it going to slow down for this? Right. And you create a timed playlist. So if I've got 20 minutes on the train, can I read these 20 articles in 20 minutes and have and be able to absorb that? So I'm going to add this to the playlist. Making partnerships, and it's just me and two other guys. And so
Clayton, can you send? Is this with preset content, or can you send any content through it?
Right. So you sync up your Pocket or your Instapaper account, and it's all right there. You can blow through. So I have people who have written me and said, I'm dyslexic. I've never been able to read the news before. This is the first time I've been able to read the news because it gets rid of all of the clutter on the side of the screen. I'm able to see one word at a time. Thank you. And that was a huge thing. I mean, about that.
What if you bought a book on Kindle or one of the readers? Is there any way to get that?
Stay tuned.
We've been working for the last 6 months on that solution because that's something I'm a huge book reader. I mean, I listen to Audible books. I read Kindle books. I want to have the ability to do this, and we are working very, very hard on that. Very hard.
So,
in fact, in the next version, Evernote will be joining us.
Ooh, that's exciting because I can get anything into Evernote.
Very kind. Phil Libin at Evernote friends, and that's something we are working on right now for Evernote support as well.
So you'll be in the trunk.
So we keep working. Yeah. Good. And we just added Macworld, by the way. If you're a Macworld fan, we just added Macworld and Tech Hive as one of our featured partners. So they are in the app as well.
So Microsoft and Google don't seem to like each other too much. It all started a few months ago when, there was never a YouTube app for Windows Phone, which is a little way of Google saying up yours, Microsoft.
Right.
So Microsoft wrote one. But it was an unusual app because it allowed you, first of all, it didn't show ads, and any of the ads, the embedded ads, nothing. And it allowed you to download a YouTube video, which you've never been able to do except with, third-party software that's maybe a little sketch. And it's pretty obvious that if you're going to make an app that breaks all of YouTube's terms of service, YouTube's going to get mad. So they blocked Microsoft. And Microsoft came back, and they blah, blah, black and forth. Finally, they said, okay, we're going to work together. And apparently they worked together, and a new YouTube app came out a few days ago for Windows Phone. It did play the ads, I guess. But after a couple of days, Google has blocked it again. And I think this is Microsoft sandbagging Google. I do not blame Google for this. I blame Microsoft. I think they set them up the first time. They knew perfectly well if they released an app that didn't show the ads and didn't download the videos, that Google was going to block it.
So basically, you read my column last week.
Did you say this?
Yeah, same thing.
Tell me the story, because I think it's like
I agree with you. It's the exact same thesis. It's that Microsoft's playing Google.
They're playing them. They know perfectly well.
Making them look like the bad guy. Because they can still show. You can still play the YouTubes by just going to the mobile app. But they pull that and make it sound as though Google's just a mean company.
They're setting them up.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And and I bet you that most of the people are going to say, "Oh, Google blocked Microsoft again." That's going to be and of course they miss the point because they say, "Well, Google insists in its terms of service that the app be HTML5 based, and Google on its own Android app doesn't have HTML5
right, support. Which makes them look like idiots,
right? But it's an
issue of Microsoft not being able to properly support that, right?
Well, and that's what Google says. You can't do HTML5 properly, so. And Microsoft said, well, we don't have to use HTML5. Yes, you do. It's in the terms of service. And I suspect HTML5 will be supported on iOS and Android pretty
soon. So what happens on a Windows phone if you try to play a YouTube video in the browser? It plays, right?
It plays.
So what?
Yeah. It redirects you to a Bing Videos app.
Zune.
Actually, would you try that on your 1020?
I'll try that right now.
It'd be a lot easier if you had a Zune.
Well, here's if you do a search just simply in the store, this is what you're looking at. These are all the different YouTube versions right here. They're all none of which, of course, are an actual Google app, of course, but they're all crap.
Crap apps. You know, on Windows Phone, a couple of people like something, you get 5 stars.
Oh. It's kind of sad. Again, this doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I'll download the most popular one if I can find it.
YouTube says Microsoft has not made the browser upgrades necessary to enable a fully featured YouTube experience and has instead re-released a YouTube app that violates our terms of service. It has been disabled. We value our broad developer community and therefore ask everyone to adhere to the same guidelines. But Google does not adhere to its own guidelines.
That's the point. Yeah. The whole thing. But yeah, anyway.
But I do feel like Microsoft knows perfectly well that Google's going to block this.
Yeah.
And says, well,
and they're playing with them.
They're playing with them.
This is the old Microsoft making a comeback. That's the way I see it. It'll be a lot more fun.
But didn't the comeback involve like their general counsel posting on the Microsoft corporate blog about how terrible Google is? Like, just
it's fine. They used to lie about IBM constantly.
Did they really?
Oh yeah.
I thought the comeback with the Surface RT wasn't that supposed to?
No. We're talking about comeback of the mean spirited.
Oh, the good old days. The negative comeback. Yeah.
By the way,
yeah, John, didn't your piece, you said truckloads of arrogance? I think I read that. Is that what you said?
Did I use the phrase truckloads of arrogance?
I like that.
Yeah, well, that's unusual usage.
Truckloads of arrogance.
So,
how much arrogance is in a truckload?
Lots.
And on the side of the truck.
So does anybody...
If I Google truckloads of arrogance, do you think I'll find John C. Dvorak's column?
I don't know how many people use that phrase.
It's got to be unique to you, yeah.
Yep.
It's number one hit. Microsoft is paying Google. Playing Google. Truckloads of arrogance. I like it. Oh.
So anyway, could we talk about something that's a little, maybe get some commentary on the Yahoo deal with all these stupid logos?
They haven't settled on
them yet. They're always in purple and they suck.
So the game that Yahoo's playing, which is, frankly, I don't think wowing the world. I don't see a lot of people going, oh, let's go to Yahoo and see what the new logo is today. They're going to do 30 days of purple logos.
All purple.
And on the 30th day, they will reveal the final choice.
The new logo.
So today, I don't know.
Vote? It sucks. These are just,
no, there's no vote. Font. They've already decided.
This logo is a new font. Why don't you just have a randomizer?
They're putting up their discarded drafts.
Yeah. This one, we didn't like this one.
To build anticipation.
Is it working? Not for me.
No, I think they're stupid. In fact, it looks weird.
Yeah.
Now, why do they limit it to purple if they're going to redesign the logo?
Purple's their color. You know why? They've got a lot of T-shirts, and they don't want to do new ones.
Oh, yeah. You get the T-shirt backing up thing, you got a problem.
Well, that's what, actually, in the third world, you see all these T-shirts for, like, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays winning the World Series, stuff like that. Because, you know, when they...
They make them in advance.
They make them in advance. Both teams win the World Series. Because, you know, otherwise they wouldn't have the hat and the T-shirt.
To put on.
And what happens to the hat and the T-shirt for the loser for the poor Philadelphia
Korea.
Phillies?
That's where they end.
They go to the third world where they can still sell them. So the Phillies have won the pennant many, many times. Which you'll be happy to know, Clayton, in Nigeria. They are...
very popular.
Great.
Hey, we'll celebrate the fact that your beloved L.A. Dodgers almost swept the Phillies tonight and continued their winning streak in the Phillies stop.
How many games behind are the Giants? Like 400?
No, they're in last place. God.
The Phillies are in like the cellar too, but I'm just glad that the Dodgers lost today after their winning streak. They've won like 51 games in a row or something ridiculous.
I think not in a row, but close.
No, it was something like 48. Like I think they lost like 4 or 5 games in a 50-game series streak.
That's sad. Anyway, so this is the current today's logo, but we already know it's a loser.
Yeah, they're all losers so far.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Get away from
that
the purple.
Looks like something at Epcot Center.
I know, these are all
looks like
awful.
Something from like 1980s Epcot Center.
And all they are is fonts. I don't think they really had a designer do these.
Yeah, these are just fonts. Change the font, you got the next logo.
Figment. Figment at Epcot Center, like, is hanging out on that ride, the Yahoo ride.
Well, I'm glad it's not me that thinks this is dumb.
No.
Hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about iPhone because we didn't finish the story. Will there be two? Will there be a 5S and a 5C?
Yes, absolutely.
Clayton knows this stuff, so I'm asking him.
Oh,
he's in.
Has he got the thing? He's got a phone?
Absolutely.
He has a TARDIS.
No, I don't have that.
He doesn't got a TARDIS?
He's got a TARDIS, and so he's been there. Will it have a thumbprint or a fingerprint reader and the home button?
Yes, absolutely.
No!
Yep.
We should bet. Let's bet a case of Baltimore crabs.
Why? Why are you so sure?
I've always wanted to have a case of Premise.
I'm going to write this up in a column shortly.
That came out wrong.
Meet me to the crabs joke.
Yes. So you're sure of this? You're sure of this?
Unequivocally. Unequivocally.
So yes. You push the button.
Is this based on Authentec, or is this, do you have sources?
I don't. Sources.
Wow. That's huge.
I don't, it's not from Authentec. Because
they spent billions or something, hundreds of millions on a thumbprint reading technology from Authentec.
And you'd think they might use it, Leo.
Yeah. But is it in the home button with a sapphire coating so it doesn't wear out?
I don't know about the coating.
Is it an innie or an outie?
From what I've understood, it's an innie, and it's going to have a silver ring around it.
It's an innie with a silver ring around it.
Wow.
So, should I ask?
It's kind of wild.
Sounds like a stripper I once knew.
Yeah.
What?
Will the next iPhone have a fingerprint reader?
Yes. Or you're going to...
Larry, you just woke up.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I didn't find anything for will the next iPhone have a fingerprint reader?
Okay, no. Google now.
They lie.
Will the next iPhone have a fingerprint reader? Let's have a Siri versus... Okay, Google now. I'm sorry. I said it again. You can't say, okay, so this is a flaw. What? Every time you say, okay, Google now, it stops and says what?
Okay. Hello, Leo.
So it's reset three times now because can't stop saying it.
Okay, Google now. Will the next iPhone have a fingerprint reader in it?
And I won't say okay, Google now anymore.
Okay, now let's see what it says. No, this just gives me news stories, so that's not confirmation.
No good.
In an email statement, Mayor Bloomberg said...
It will.
The next... Wait a minute. What?
What does Mayor Bloomberg know?
What does Mayor Bloomberg know? Apparently, Mayor Bloomberg's spokesman has inadvertently revealed that the next iPhone will have a fingerprint reader in it.
Wow. That's where Clayton got it.
Why does this...
Look, I've been hearing about this for months from...
The comment came after Bloomberg took heat for suggesting residents of the city's public housing be fingerprinted to access their homes. Bloomberg's remark was made while discussing how to reduce crime in public housing. While defending the mayor, his press secretary, Mark LaVornia, said the following in an email to Politiker. All security is moving towards biometrics. Even the next iPhone will have fingerprint security.
It's official.
So it's official.
So will that cut down on iPhone theft?
I said that on the air Saturday. We were talking about that story, going into public housing, having to get fingerprints to go into public housing to reduce crime. And I said on the air Saturday morning that I happen to know that the next iPhone will, in fact, have fingerprint
scan
technology.
And Mayor Bloomberg's spokesman watches Fox.
They watch Fox. Interesting.
But what I find interesting is that New York City is going to provide all the residents of the housing projects with their own new iPhone. I think that's fantastic.
That's great.
I think that's really a great program, and I want to
support. So will that cut down on theft? I mean, can they make an iPhone so it simply will not work unless the owner...
Sure, if everybody has an iPhone, who's going to steal one?
Exactly.
Well, no, some people don't have one. They're still stolen.
No, everyone should have one.
What about the gold iPhone?
That's the worst idea ever.
It's all
gold.
Is that for Dubai
market?
Liz, are you going to get one of those?
This is one of the rumors. There's a picture of a gold.
Real gold?
No, plastic gold.
Oh,
gold.
No, it has to be real gold.
It's a color option.
Obviously.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything to
real gold. Obviously, it's 24 karat gold.
Diamond encrusted phones. I've seen those.
No, but this is like Apple would make it.
It would be the Dubai market would buy that up.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's a bad rumor, the gold iPhone. There's the picture of it. That's not possible.
I like
it. iPhone reader could be a gold finger reader.
So, but your sources, because Clayton has excellent sources. Let's be serious here. You have excellent sources. Your sources say that's a lock. The fingerprint reader.
Wow. Lock. I got to, by the way, Larry, I got the joke. Just to let you know, somebody was listening.
Somebody.
Larry had a little zinger in there. Don't say it again because then you look like a rube.
The headline on TechCrunch right now.
The headline of TechCrunch says Goldfinger, the next iPhone.
Oh, there you go.
See, they stole it from me.
Goldfinger. Okay, see, that's huge. Here's why I think it's huge. First of all, I poo-pooed this. I've been poo-pooing this on MacBreak Weekly every week. You're probably snickering in the background, Clayton, while you're listening to the show, because you know better. But I just seem to me this is not, and Andy Iannocco agreed. I think Renee Ritchie even agreed. This is an unlikely thing for Apple to be so far ahead of the pack. They still don't have NFC in their phones.
Are you talking about the gold iPhone still?
No, fingerprint sensor.
Lenovo's had it.
But I had heard, we're talking about NFC.
And it doesn't work.
NFC sucks.
WWDC, that NFC, that Apple was not going to go NFC at all. They were going to go all in with low-powered Bluetooth.
Which is actually probably a good way to do it if everybody else does it, right? Whatever technology they choose.
You know, imagine having your purchases authenticated with low-powered Bluetooth, using Passbook, using a fingerprint scanner.
Yeah.
Getting away from the wallet. If I could, I hate carrying a wallet. And by the way, I've lost my wallet twice in the past 3 months. It's never happened to me before in my life. I don't know if I'm getting old or something's going on, or just have kids and I don't get more than 3 hours of sleep at night. I am sick and tired of carrying a wallet. If I could keep all of my credit cards, all of that information on the thing that's always like in this? My pocket, which is my smartphone.
Look at this. She has a little case that has
a wallet.
Right. Is that spec cases? My wife has one of those and she loves it. She keeps the debit card in there.
Women like that.
She's got a perk. Yeah.
Will the state of New Jersey allow you to have an electronic driver's license that you carry around in your iPhone?
You know what? Because I lost my wallet twice again, and I've had to order two new driver's licenses. I've gotten not that I've gotten a speeding ticket. That's something my wife does. I've had to show my digital Google Drive picture.
You're kidding. And did they accept that?
They accepted it at a number of different places.
Officer, I'd like to show you a picture of my driver's license.
Oh, wow, really?
And that works.
I mean, really, what's the difference? I mean, obviously, of course, they have the stuff on the back, so they scan it when they're going through TSA. It's not good enough for TSA, so I bring my passport. It's good enough for...
They've not heard of Photoshop at the New Jersey Police Department?
Yeah.
No, they have not heard of Photoshop.
That is, I've got to try that the next time they want wallet drivers.
I tell people just use cash.
So okay, I agree. First of all, Atrix, the Motorola Atrix had a thumbprint reader. Of Lenovo's have. They're a little wonky. They're not perfect. I would expect Apple to have perfected this before they use it. One. Two, in order to get this to work, it's the same problem with NFC. You've got to get merchants and everybody to get on board. Now, I admit Apple has a lot of clout in this market. Do they today have enough clout, and do they have enough market penetration for stores to say, okay, we're all in, we're going to... Because if you do that, it's got to have an iPhone, right?
Right. I mean, I think Apple can move markets in that way.
I think they used to be able to. How many people, in the audience have iPhones? Wow. Okay. That's the majority.
They can take over the place.
That's the majority.
I'm on a train on a regular basis, which just is a random sampling of college kids all the way up, right? I'm on, take a New Jersey Transit train or an Amtrak train, hundreds and hundreds of people. I walk down the aisle, almost all of them on iPhones.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that many, many of them have Android phones, and I see a bunch of Android phones. But the ability to think about when we talk about voice technology, just not even 2 years ago now, when the release of the 4S with Siri, they don't call it voice dictation. People call it Siri. Do you have Siri on your phone? They refer to it that way. I mean, that's the power of the marketing machine that is Apple. You're going to see millions and millions and millions of dollars spent on holiday advertising for this. If this is a feature that's truly ready.
I wouldn't want to have to turn away half of my customers because I had my payment system dedicated to one operating system, which isn't even anymore the dominant operating system. I mean, maybe your New Jersey friends on the train all own iPhones, but the fact of the matter is that Android's outselling them. So it seems to me that just as Apple eventually put the iPod on Windows, it would make sense to make it something that was cross-platform. I mean, that would make
clear. Well, you're not going to lose a customer, Larry. If I go into a store and they take this Apple thing and you can do a deal with your fingerprint and I don't have it, I'll just use something else. I'll either give them cash or give them a credit card or something like that. It just may be a third option.
So it's 40% of the U.S. market has iPhones now.
Or a lot.
It's not a majority, but it's 40%. It's the largest by far.
Not of everyone. Market. Of people who own smartphones, right?
Have you not still been stuck behind the jackass at the grocery store who's writing a check?
Yeah.
Oh, worse than that is the old lady. I complain about this commonly. The old lady who's looking for that last penny. So she's digging and digging and digging for the penny. I got a penny. And so you stand there waiting. And then, especially in California, they load the groceries into these beat up old Trader Joe bags that are dirty and there's flies buzzing around them because you have to use these recyclable bags. It's a disgusting situation. I hate shopping in these stores with these people.
Get your groceries delivered.
And by the way, it's not one system, right? You're using a Visa, MasterCard, American Express. They are all using different merchant accounts. If you have a Discover card system at your shop, you have to pay Discover separately so that you can have that credit card included in the bundle of credit cards and merchant account stuff that you accept. You have a Square account.
Yeah, it's the same technology. I mean, the problem is you don't want to have separate readers. Like this, like the coffee shop I go to in the morning has a Square reader, which is great. But, I mean, you want to have a system where – you don't have to ask the person, oh, which payment system are you going to use now so I can grab the right piece of technology to scan your
Square
card,
is on all platforms. You know, it's Android and iPhone. Right, and unfortunately, it has not taken the world by storm. There are a few places that use it, but it's not
but
universal
Square's the opposite.
By any means.
Square is used by the merchant.
Yeah. Well, but this would have to be supported by the merchant.
Right, but the merchant, Square works with credit cards.
Right. Well, no, because I can pay by Square. There's a phone pay by Square thing. So I have already set that up. When I walk in, the merchant says, oh, Leo, you're in here. And all I say is, yeah, that's me. Charge it to my account. It's a nice friction-free solution, and I like it. But it has not taken the world by storm, despite its cross-platform.
What are you showing, Larry? It's out of focus.
This is my Starbucks app, which is the only one I actually use it. And part of the reason is that they give me some benefit. I get a free cup of coffee every, you know, 15 times I use it.
You can get free flavor boosts.
Yeah, free stuff like that. But the point is that it actually is kind of cool. I do like using it, and I probably drink more Starbucks coffee than I would otherwise drink.
So credit to Mike Elgin, who said that this is going to change identity. He said this 6 months ago that the new iPhone will have a fingerprint reader, and it's going to change everything. I mean, it's true. Apple's one of the few companies that can move these markets in that way.
Yeah.
Wow. And Google has...
I don't think they're ready. But let me be clear. From what my sources say, Passbook, still a mess, right? I know that Apple and maybe
it has no credit cards at all right now. It's just tickets and stuff.
But remember Keychain. In iOS 7 was a big feature, of course, at WWDC, being able to put replacing sort of LastPass and 1Password on your iPhone, so storing all of your credit card information in there, and you sign in with your iCloud account. You've got that extra level of encryption. You've got an extra code that you have to put in as a result of that, so you have that backup, and you have all your credit cards and movie stubs and stubs, you know, AMC loyalty cards and your CVS card and all of those things you can store in there, and using a fingerprint scanner to give authentication for that this is in fact the person who has the CVS card that's going to go pick up their prescription could be a big thing. Passbook though is not there yet, and I don't know, it may take another year before we see that next big feature of Passbook. So I don't know that Apple's there yet with Passbook integration with the fingerprint scanner. From all I know, it's just unlocking right now.
So, I mean, the ideal, if it could pass it through to your bank or Facebook or Twitter every time you have to enter a password. Like, my bank, for good reasons, requires me to enter the password every time I load its app. And it would be nice if I could just hit the fingerprint reader instead of having to type in the password. But will Apple allow its developers to access that data?
Well, I think the really important question is, will it work with a fingerprint reader, work with a finger that's been chopped off?
No, it won't, because it needs heat. It senses...
What if you stick it in some warm water?
Well, maybe. Ooh. Why don't we try that?
Just wondering.
You're making my skin crawl.
It reads the blood, does it not, through the skin? It reads the blood moving through the skin?
I'm not so sure. You go in...
No, I think so.
So what if you're in a store and a guy's got the phone and he's got a finger that he's holding and he sticks it on there,
so you're
and you watch him, what would you do? Would you refuse the sale?
I think you're honest.
I'm excited because I really feel like that if Apple just did kind of a minor improvement, iOS 7 on the 5S, it would be a big problem for Apple. But if Apple can do something that is unique and an exciting feature that gets people excited, that's very important. And it's going to take something like on this level. So I'm excited. I believe you, Clayton, because I know you have great sources. So that's I think that's a huge story.
Yeah, I've heard it from a couple of spots, and you know, it's interesting. Rene Ritchie's point, our mutual friend, he made the point. I think he and I were going back and forth online a little bit about this a few weeks ago, but he had made the point, I think, on Mac Break Weekly publicly. So I don't want to put words in his mouth, that this will be that sort of tentpole feature. They'll feature during the holidays. You'll see those ads.
Right.
You know, he making the point that you could see a Santa Claus ad like you see with Siri. doing something interesting with security or touching the screen. And
do you think
those
that people get
ads.
As excited about that, though? That just doesn't so. That doesn't seem exciting
creepy.
To me. Yeah, it's not like, oh, fingerprints.
This is not the first time we've seen this. I remember years and years ago, every so often, there's a little cycle of all these fingerprint readers.
Right.
And they
well,
come and they're at the trade shows, and there are all these things. And there was, I remember even with XP, I saw a demo of a guy, you touch this thing, and it changes the users, pop, pop, pop.
Right. Yeah, I think it would be sad if that is the distinguishing feature of a
never
new phone.
Catch.
I don't know, though, with the amount of people who've lost their phones and have had to use Find My iPhone, the amount of security concerns that we have over these devices now, where your whole life is stored on these devices, it may be the thing that may say to parents, you know, hey, this is, we're thinking about getting our son or daughter for Christmas this particular phone. Why wouldn't we go with the one that seems to be now the most secure because you need to use your finger? And it's Apple after all, right?
Well,
they make great products.
If John C. Dvorak's theory is true, I'm worried I'd much rather lose my phone than my thumb. So,
well,
you know, this is going to cost
thumb or finger, whatever. I'm wondering, Clayton, about, I just heard what you said, and I'm wondering. I don't believe for a minute that if you stole somebody's phone that was fingerprint identified, that you can't reset the thing. I've never seen anything that can't be hacked and reset.
Well, that's also one of WWDC, one of the big features of WWDC. Forgive me for forgetting what feature it was, but Apple's extra layer of security that they featured, which was the having to sign in with your Apple ID. It has to be the person who signed with their Apple ID, which I think would go a long way to deter theft on these devices. Well, so you have a fingerprint scanner and you have that extra layer.
It's possible that you'd have to go back to an Apple store and get the thing reset officially if you want to do, like, because you
do
might
have to have
give,
a backdoor.
I might
want to
give you. I'm going to give you my kid, and I got my phone. I'm getting a new one. I'm giving it to you.
Oh, you can wipe it and start over. That's the point. As long as you can wipe, you have to wipe it, then it's all right because the data is wiped off of it. I think there's two things that have to happen here. First of all, it has to work, which is far from a far gone conclusion. A lot of this fingerprint stuff is wonky. And, you know, we have a lot of Android stuff. You have face recognition that works half the time. It must be 100% accurate, 100% reliable. That's challenging. I believe Apple could do it, and I don't think Apple will release it unless it is. And secondly, they have to find a way to market it that convinces normal people this is something you really want. I think that's one good angle, which is never lose your data again. That actually might be a better angle than the commerce angle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Well, with all the concerns over.
Well, there's also not the concerns, but there are these, and the police departments complain about it. People have their iPhones stolen, women, a lot of them.
It's common.
Walking down the street.
I had my iPhone stolen. I mean, it was actually worse than that in that there was I was at a co-working space and someone walked in and swiped it off my desk.
It's too easy just to lift, yeah.
But, and they immediately turned it off.
Was it a gypsy lady?
No, I mean, unfortunately it was some kids who came in and said they were looking for internships and just like,
oh yeah, there you go.
Bad. I felt terrible.
No, but people then,
but it got stolen and immediately they turned it off. So Find My iPhone was
better.
Not, even though I had a password on it.
They knew.
And then I went outside. This was a bad day. Then I went outside to go see if I could track them down because I knew they were on foot. So my coworker and I got in a car.
Wow.
We're going down the street. We witnessed a hit and run. So then we stop and give a police report. This and at the end of the police report, I'm like,
oh, and
By the way, my phone got stolen. And the guy's like, go to the mall at 5th and Market. There's a phone recycling drop box, like a vending machine there. That's where people go. And
they get cash for it.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't think it's the fingerprint that's the problem. It's like there's there's so many other systems.
It's in that machine now.
Yeah, we went and staked out the machine, which was really comical. But nothing happened.
Did you hold a newspaper up in front of your face and kind of pretend?
Oh, yeah. I super sly. I'm going to be
a CIA agent. It was at the gym the other day. I lost my iPad mini. I was done with my workout. I had been reading a book on the treadmill, and I put it down next to me on this like stretching machine and got up to go over and do another stretch thing and came back and it was gone.
Wow.
And immediately panicked and talked to the staff, thought it's got to be here. My gym is out in the middle of nowhere. So went downstairs, went to the one information desk, and she said, have you tried to find my iPhone yet? She knew all about it. She said, I just 2 days ago had my iPhone stolen from me. She was an employee at the gym. She tracked it down. It was someone who had gone to the gym and was an employee, was a member of the gym. Tracked it down, went to their person's house because she was able to look it up in the computer. So she tracked it down, knocked on the door. She heard it beeping in the house and said, my phone is here. And the woman said, what? And the woman, she said, I can see that my phone is here right now. can I have my phone back, please? And she said, oh, well, I didn't know. I found it. I was going to turn it in. And wow.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I sent the beacon off for my Find My iPad, and I heard it buzzing upstairs, and someone had picked it up, and I think it might have started to buzz, and they ran back over, and I think put it back down on that same stretching machine.
I use that service probably 4 times a week at home because I'm always misplacing my phone.
Well,
I usually keep my phone on vibrate.
Clearly, there's a market. There is a market for this.
Yeah. I lost my Nexus 7.
Yeah, I love that. Well, it's only $220.
Well, I lost it in the house. Yeah. That's the problem.
Well, that's easy
to
do.
Look out. Look out. It has a free app.
It's underneath something.
If you had a fingerprint reader on that, then you could lose that, too.
I'm getting RFID. You know, these I got it on my keys now. There's a little
thing. Like a
sticker? No, it's a little thing. You have a credit card. Yeah. It's got an RF, and it beeps it.
That's a good idea.
The batteries die on those things. My problem is managing batteries on all these little devices.
That's the problem.
On my phone. And I always
I'm excited. So will this be in the new – I presume that Apple's going to have the event for iPhones only on the 10th and then in October do an iPad /MacBook/Mac Pro. Will there be fingerprint readers in other Apple hardware, Clayton Morse?
I don't know about that. All I know is the new iPhone.
Got to go Apple. Put it everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that one feature, right? It was a late rollout for Siri and the iPads. They've targeted for that phone. The iPhone 4S, we had Siri. That was the feature that they then began to roll out the ads almost immediately for the holidays.
For fingerprint.
It could be the 5F.
F. 5F.
Oh, F.
That would be bad.
If it were the 5 and the 5F Ultimate, which would be the FU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. Come back with more. Clayton Morris is here. Read Quick Man and readquickapp.com. Keep watching. The iPhone app should be out any minute now. He's also on Fox and Friends every week. Great technology commentator. Makes his home in Lake Tinky Winky. Don't ask. We also have Liz Gaines from All Things D. The All Things Mobile conference was a hit.
Yes.
When's the next one? Is it going to be in the fall, or are you going to make it the spring now forever?
TBD.
TBD. That means to
be determined.
Be determined. John C. Dvorak is my interpreter.
Yes. Inside Track book, by the way, is now on Amazon.
Oh, that's great. An Amazon single, or how are you going to do that? It's an e-book.
Yeah, it's an e-book.
Oh, you were selling it for $10 online. Now you have it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Awesome. ChannelDvorak.com. JohnCDvorak.org/blog.
No Agenda Show.
NoAgendaShow.com. Larry Magid. Saves children every time he speaks. SafeKids.com. And, of course, he's on CBS News all the time.
On CBS News. Today.
Love and Forbes.
Now, Forbes.com.
Coming up. Okay, the new tweet record. You wanted to talk about that, Liz. Liz, we're going to save this.
Try and guess.
What happened this month that set off a record number of tweets?
You're not going to get this.
You're not going to get this, says Liz. I beg to differ. We have a very smart chat room. But meanwhile, let's talk to the IT department. If you are in IT, you probably have heard about GoToAssist Remote Access. It's the number one remote access solution, has been for 10 years. Great folks at Citrix know remote access. But GoToAssist has more than just remote access now, and that makes it even more compelling. Yes, you get the remote access designed for remote support. You can support people live or unattended, up to 8 sessions at once. You can support any PC, any Mac, even support mobile devices from anywhere. You can even support from your iPad or Android device with their free apps. That means you get time away from the office, too. And now they've added the service desk, which lets you log and track incidents, and monitoring. You can monitor everything on the client network, including software. You'll know before the toner cartridge runs out. You'll know before the bandwidth gets cut down. So you can march in and fix it and be a support hero. This is a fabulous solution. Keep track of everything with a service desk, fix everything with remote support, monitor everything with GoToAssist monitoring, and try it free, all 3 modules, for the next 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com and click the Try It Free button. Our promo code on this is TWIT, simple to remember, TWIT. Citrix really has created the ultimate. And I know a lot of you work in support. You have my deepest sympathies. That's a tough job. Having the right cloud-based tool set makes a huge difference. Yeah, you can't hang it off your giant keychain, but you can use it. GoToAssist.com. Use the offer code TWIT. August 3rd, Twitter hit a 1 second peak of 143,199 tweets per second. And what was the event?
I was going to say the baby, royal baby.
The royal baby, no.
Oh, God.
It was something in Japan, which is why it's hard.
A TV show in Japan called Castle in the Sky. Is that a manga?
Twitter is really popular in Japan.
Is it? Is it bigger? Yeah, see, it's manga. It's one of them there, you know, animated things. Huh. It's a Hayao Miyazaki.
It's a 1986.
Well, no. I guess there was a TV show based on Castle in the Sky. That's what I'm guessing. Watched an air. No, it was the movie.
That's pretty cool.
An old 1980 movie, and they got 140.
Was it on Laserdisc?
This is why, by the way. And I bet you, Clayton, that you hear this in the corridors of power at Fox. This is why live television is so excited about Twitter, because it's the first thing they found that actually causes people to watch more TV live.
And Twitter adding now that live or rumors about it, I guess, where they're adding in that live box of TV trending
like
information.
A trending topics for TV.
Right. Yeah.
Is that on the Twitter page? You mean?
I think, and you're seeing this integration between the social media platforms and television. Google Plus is being very smart about this. I can't say that Facebook is. I don't know what Facebook is doing, but I know what Google Plus is doing. In fact, my wife is going to be hosting a MasterChef hangout with the team from MasterChef, the ones who have gotten kicked off the show, the Gordon Ramsay show. Our mutual friends from PixelCore are going to be coming into our house tomorrow.
And doing a hangout?
To do a live hangout at our house tomorrow.
Oh, that's neat.
And so this integration live on the show during the broadcast saying, hey, watch Bree here who just has been kicked off. She's going to go and do this hangout where she's going to basically be fighting to get back on the show on this Google Hangout. And they're promoting these things live on the show. And I know that when my wife and I watch like Top Chef Masters, they have the extra bonus ones that are only available online. You have to go to Bravo TV to watch them. We do it because it's great. So this cross-promotion between these two platforms, it's interesting to see now that Nielsen has built in, I'm sure, Larry, I bet you have a lot of thoughts on this, building in Twitter integration for Nielsen ratings and seeing hashtag results and the conversations that are happening around engagement online driving Nielsen ratings in part, not fully, but in part.
You know, when you think back to the presidential debates, I remember the very first one between Obama and what was his name, Romney. And I had the sense that Obama was losing this debate. I mean, that was my gut feeling as I'm watching it. Obama's blowing it. But I got immediate confirmation because I went on a Twitter. And I have a lot of Democrat friends, some Republican friends. And across the board, my Twitter friends confirmed what I was thinking. And it was kind of a useful little poll, not random selection, but smart people helping me better understand what I was seeing live. And, you know, I think that's definitely the way of the future.
Twitter is the secret sauce for television.
Yeah. Yeah.
That thin veneer, doesn't have to be thick, of social interaction that makes TV more compelling.
It's interesting how it works.
That's all I've got to say to this conversation.
Go ahead, Liz.
Who cares? But you know, go on.
I tell you, who cares?
I was addressing the specific conversation.
Some
but
big
now
executives
that it's been
and
completely
NBC, ABC. Go ahead, address this, please.
Oh, I was going to say, it's interesting to think about how that works for a Netflix show where they release all of them at the same time.
Right. You lose that, don't you? I mean, this really is only big on live TV. But that's, I think, why television executives are excited about it, because otherwise it's a gloomy future for live television, especially with the world of cord cutters. This keeps you subscribed to your cable, keeps you watching TV.
So you can watch about it. We watch it when everyone's talking about it.
Yeah. It doesn't make much sense to tweet about a game, you know, House of Cards, because nobody's watching at the same time.
It makes sense only to me with live events.
Right.
Like a World Series, the Emmys, the
Well, your
Oscars.
Interpretation of event is obviously more narrow. If the airing
Emmys,
of a 1980s manga award.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Show, movie, can garner the peak number of tweets ever.
Yeah,
it shows you it doesn't have to be.
We don't know this wasn't done by bots or some other thing. That's a bogus kind of a
I kind of want to know more now that we know what it was. I didn't even look.
It doesn't make any sense. Makes no sense.
The Emmys, by the way, I think are tape delayed, like which is terrible. So you're talking about a live event.
Well, that's true. You won't see as much of that either, will you?
Well, maybe they should do it live. But it reminds me of that Coney 2012 crap where these numbers were just skyrocketing. It was totally a bot.
But for instance, it was 11 a.m. in California a couple of weeks ago when they announced the new Doctor Who. And if you...
Well, those maniacs, yeah, that could be.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to, you know, keep that a secret in your head, there was no way you had to be watching 11 a.m. Pacific on Twitter, because that was the evening announcement in the in England, and there's no way to keep secrets anymore. You know, I mean, it's good luck.
And God forbid you should be in the dark until 11:05. I mean, people just have to know.
That's right now.
In real time, or it's just not important. You've got to know.
I wonder how much of this is weighted against the broadcast audience. So if you've got 2 million viewers on a particular show, and then you have maybe 200, 300,000 viewers on another show, but you have incredible online engagement on that smaller show, that metric, I'm not sure exactly how the metrics ferret out as it relates to Nielsen, is now being weighted against the larger broadcast audience.
And as so it should, because if you're an advertiser, you'd prefer 200,000 engaged viewers to 2 million unengaged viewers. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
That's what ratings are about, is advertisement.
Everything's about advertising.
Right, but isn't it also eyeballs? I mean, it's the debate about how many people, if you're engaging over particular topics on a show, does that translate to purchasing products? I don't know. Or would you rather have 2 million people watching a particular show and getting brand awareness about your new Ford truck? I don't know. And I think they're still grappling with this. I just worry,
I talked to somebody at General Mills. I mean, this is kind of mainstream. You're selling cereal, right?
So this is what you're going for?
Oats.
No. I wasn't trying to pitch them. They were visiting the studio. He works at General Mills.
Huh.
He said their social media advertising is 5 times more effective than their television advertising.
Really?
Yeah. He said this is really the future.
What constitutes social media for
him? Well, following General Mills on Facebook, for instance, and
getting a coupon.
This stuff is much more valuable than an ad that you might see for Cheerios on a TV show. And I think that makes a lot of sense. It is a big change.
You got to readjust the CPMs.
But the budget they're spending on social media is a tiny fraction of what they're spending on television.
That's why it's more effective for them.
Yeah, they haven't quite figured out, the social media companies haven't quite figured out a way to fully monetize that yet.
It's called gouging.
Sheryl Sandberg,
they haven't figured out how to gouge.
I can help you figure it out.
There's also a lot of cheap social media that doesn't work, right?
Yeah. It has to be.
I can't. We had Esther Dyson on Triangulation on Wednesday. She was great. Among all of her many accomplishments, she was a founding chairman of ICANN, the Internet Corporation of Assigned Names and Numbers, which is still to this day in charge of domain names and assigned IP addresses. And she was very negative about all of these new, you know, dot McDonald's domain names. She said this is a terrible idea. Good news: ICANN has killed Google's plan for the dotless search, TLD.
Remember they tried something about maybe 6-7 years ago called real names, and it was going to be this.
So they wanted to use search as a dotless domain name, so you could just type search and you'd get Google. How convenient.
Yeah, fascinating how that works.
Companies with a bit.ly dot, bit.ly slash whatever their name is, and I don't quite get that, why they just don't advertise their own .com, but a lot of people are now using bit.ly as part of their advertising, which, you know, I just started noticing the last few days.
We actually use bit.ly, but we have a twit. I think it's twit.im. What is our shortener? dw.im, something like that, that's using bit.ly. But you have a custom bit.ly.
Why don't you just use twit.com/im? It's the same number of
characters. It's short enough. No, it's tw.im/something.
Yeah, when you send out other links, they're shortened to have that as the beginning.
Yeah. Anyway... What was I saying? I don't care. I know what I was going to say. The number one searched. So you go into Google, you go in the lobby, they have that list of search terms going by real time. It's funny. Yeah. You know what the number one search term last time I was there was? Yahoo. They just people, because you know why? Because people go to their browser, and instead of typing yahoo.com, they just type Yahoo. And you know what you get on Google when you type Yahoo? You get Yahoo.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's like kind of crossing the streams.
People do that, yeah. I think a lot of people use Google.
I think everybody does that.
I do it for YouTube. Because I don't feel like the typing the .com part.
So that's kind of justifying Google's thought that, what do you need a dot for? Shouldn't it just go somewhere?
It's like an AOL keyword.
Shouldn't Yahoo's TLD be Yahoo?
That's exactly what it would be. It would be reverting to AOL keywords. Ugh.
Hey, if you missed this week on Twit, you missed a promo. Let's watch.
1, 2, 3, 4. Previously on Twit. NSFW.
Jason, how about your album?
There's marketing.
I just want that on a loop for the rest of my life.
Windows Weekly.
We saw the new YouTube app show up in the Windows Phone Store. It looked really good. And today, we find out Google is blocking the app.
This is a trap. This was like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to work with them. And then they put it out, and they're like, oh, no, sorry. Actually, so the joke's on you guys. Your browser and your product is not sophisticated enough for YouTube, so we're not going to allow that.
i5 for the iPhone.
The whole point of Lulu is to anonymously rate men that you know on Facebook, whether it's from personal experience or just because he's your friend. You can rate them with pre-populated hashtags and anecdotes.
This Week in Google.
We installed the internet on our computer just a short time ago.
I wonder how you installed the internet on our computer just a short time ago. And already is laden with viruses, spyware, and malware.
Twit. Tech just like you like it.
Cyberspace. Hello, virtual reality. You're going surfing on the internet.
Yeah. The worst house ad ever. What was that thing from?
That's our new theme song. What was that from, Chad?
I don't know. I was mowing the lawn listening to Twig this week when you guys were playing that, laughing my ass off.
That's the Kids Guide to the Internet 1995 edition.
This was on YouTube, right?
While I was mowing.
Hysterical. You're going surfing on the internet. Ooh.
Installed the internet this week in our house. Billy has already learned about the Magna Carta.
Did you go back and watch the video? It's amazing.
No, I just kept hearing the clips while I was mowing the lawn.
It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. I think we want to use this as our theme song for This Week in Google from now on. It's really funny. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Chad has it.
There we go.
Getting on the internet, cyberspace, sex free. Hello, virtual reality. Interactive appetite, searching for a website, a window to the world, got to get online. Take a spin, now you're in with the techno set, you're going surfing on the internet.
Take a spin, now you're in with a techno set.
Someone owns that.
I would like to find out who, and I'm willing to take that? To get a takedown to find out.
Do it.
Nice. Well, we're going to use it, and we'll see. And if we get a takedown, well, then we'll know who owns that.
You can go buy it from
them. I'm suspecting that
take
they won't
$100
want to...
Yeah, $100.
$100. $100. Tom Merritt, what's... what is that? NFL on Fox. Look at that.
Is Tom here?
Look at that.
Wow, look at that.
Look at that. Sites visited.
Wow.
TVGuide.com/sports.
But let's say I want to use email.
You know, email is still the number one use of the internet.
Huh?
It's easy to set up the email program provided with your online software.
Oh, I like how his head moves, but his eyes don't.
Yes.
Yeah, where did they get those kids?
Creepy.
You know, somebody looked up.
That was me when I was 13.
Dasha, were you a child star, Clayton?
No, I'm still not a star.
Oh, okay. But I mean, didn't you work like it's? You looked like you might have been worked on a show or something.
Yeah, I was. I don't want to say this. I don't want to admit this, but I was the boyfriend on Punky Brewster. You recognize me?
I think that's him.
Look.
Pretty similar.
Paul Webber.
Somebody looked up Dasha, and I think they thought the chat room thought they'd found her Facebook profile for the girl that with the daughter in that thing. Which
I love that.
Yeah. I'm looking up your IMDb.
Stalkers.
Clayton.
Yeah, let's find out what Clayton really started. The boyfriend on Punky
Brewster.
That's
trouble.
Yeah. Look at. First of all, we know his middle name is Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
That's the right one. Yeah, it is the right one.
We're going to take a break while Liz Gaines shows what reportorial skills can bring
really
you in the 21st century. But Tom Merritt is going to tell us what's coming
here.
Up this week. He's
hey,
here.
Thanks, Leo. Here's a look at some of the things we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Monday, August 19th, Aereo, the broadcast service over the internet, launches in Utah. Tuesday, August 20th, Y Combinator Demo Day in Mountain View. Also, Samsung's 3200 by 1800 Ative Book 9 Plus begins shipping. And Verizon has those three new Droid phones coming. Wednesday, August 21st, Google Wallet removes support for gift and loyalty cards, so make sure you spend your balance by then. GamesCon kicks off in Cologne, Germany, and HP announces their earnings. August 22nd, Microsoft will close its Xbox PC marketplace. You got a lot of spending to do. Spend those Microsoft points by then. Also, Verizon HTC One should land in stores. And Friday, August 23rd, the Moto X will be available from AT&T, and it's actually supposed to launch on some other carriers as well. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Watch Tech News Today, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time for your daily dose of tech news, 1700 UTC.
You should get paid for the Verizon promotions.
What do you mean? Was that a Verizon promotion?
It sure looked like it, except for the AT&T saved it. But there was a Verizon this, Verizon that.
They're busy. Those guys at Verizon, they're working hard.
A little money.
IFA's coming up, the Berlin teleconference. Are you going?
I'm going to be there. Yeah, I'll be there.
Oh, I'm jealous. Absolutely. That would be fun. Yeah. So we know that Samsung will announce the Note 3 on September 4th. What else do you expect to see at IFA?
I do know Samsung's going to be doing a lot. Lenovo plans to do something. Let's see. For some reason, the folks that make, I'm blocking it now, the ability to run Windows on a Mac, what's that called now? They're going to have an announcement.
There's two. There's Parallels and there's VMware.
Getting old. Parallels is going to have an announcement. Other than that, I don't know. But it's most of what you see at IFA is kind of recycled CES, but more and more, and IFA, by the way, I don't know what it stands for. It's this long German name.
It's crazy,
trade show that's been going on for a long time. Albert Einstein was their first keynoter. And they,
I think that's true.
Wow.
It's an old, oh, it is
it's
true.
A radio, it's radio, it was a radio company, telecom. Yeah.
It's huge. It's almost as big as CES.
Internationale Funkenausstellungen.
There you go.
Something like that. Yeah. You got it pretty close. Yeah. But anyway, it's a good show, but it's all the way in Berlin, which is actually a great place to be. So no complaints there.
It's interesting that in Germany, radio is funk.
Yep.
That's the word.
And here it's funky.
Yeah, it's funny how visionary they were.
Google. Quick, get the domain name, Google. Google.
I'm sure it's already grabbed.
I'm sure it's taken.
Yeah.
Google goes down for 5 minutes on Friday night. Global internet traffic drops 40%.
That's bull crap.
Yeah, I looked at that. I don't know if
I believe
that.
You don't think that's true?
No, the Daily News. All the source is a single source for that number, and it makes no sense when you hear about the Netflix number and the peer-to-peer number and all these percentages.
It's like one company with a very small sample.
It's a bogus stat.
Sounds exciting, though.
Yeah, it sounds great.
I mean, doesn't Netflix account for like 40% of nightly web traffic? So how does
you don't need Google
who's got that 40%? And then Friday night, crap was hitting the fan in Cairo when everyone was on Twitter.
Right.
So I don't know that I buy that number at all.
And in fact, neither Twitter nor Netflix has any need for Google. Really?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point. Good point. Let's see what else.
I learned on IMDb that Clayton's father is a scuba instructor.
Oh, that's nice. Is that what he does for a living? Is your father? Wait a minute.
Nope.
She's
his father's
your father, Lloyd Bridges.
His father is a realtor, it says.
Yes, he's a realtor in Reading, Pennsylvania. If anyone needs a house,
in Reading,
call up my dad.
How
Don
does
Morris.
He dive off the boat? Does he go over, flip over backwards?
Yeah, you have to.
You don't have to.
Yeah, he used to dive a lot of risks.
You know, he's
I think you could jump straight in the air and come down feet first and make a real nice entrance.
Actually, kind of screwed up his hearing. He's going to be turning 80 next year. So he's pulled back on the scoop diving. Yeah. But he was good guy.
Samsung did make an announcement this week in New York City of a curved OLED TV and kind of shocked the world because LG has its OLED out for $15,000. Samsung was selling its for around $15,000 in Japan. Announced a $9,000 price in the U.S., which is considered 40%
steal.
It's now it makes me feel like that's cheap
for you.
I actually bought one.
Did you?
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
what are you going to use it for?
Watching TV.
So you're going to go into the TV. And
what's
have
the point
it come
of it being curved around?
Like,
I think it's
when are you going to get it?
It's back ordered.
Back ordered.
Yeah.
So you've basically thrown $9,000.
No, they don't charge you till they.
That's nice.
Yeah. They just say, "Well,
they're not using your cash flow.
They're not holding my money or anything."
I'm buying two $4,500 sets instead, side by side.
I'm buying it for Twit so that we can review these because this is the first.
So this is a write-off.
Yeah, no, we're buying it for Twit so we can review because it's an OLED and it's the first kind of mass production OLED big screen. This is 55 inches. Early reviews are very positive. Consumer Reports has already seen it, reviewed it, and said it's the best HD TV they've ever reviewed.
CNET said that as well.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. Deep blacks. The curve, I don't know how much that adds to the... Samsung says it adds to the immersiveness, but one thing it does do, it makes it impossible to hang it on a wall.
Right.
I don't know if the curve is germane or not, but it's, cool looking. It's a gimmick, probably.
Cool.
I'm sure it's gorgeous. I saw the Sony one at the...
Well, we've seen them at CES every year, and they really look fabulous. Yeah. So we'll see.
Then they got better contrast ratios.
Robert Herron at Revision 3 said, could he borrow it to review it? And then Scott Wilkinson at ABS Forum said, could I borrow it to review it?
I think you should charge him.
I think if I charge $5,000 a piece, I'm going to come out
of it. You can do
it, should work out well.
Leo, it's not 4K, as I understand, right?
It is not an ultra high def UHD TV.
It's not a 4K.
It's 1080p.
Oh.
What are you going to watch on your 4K TV?
The demos.
Yeah, there's nothing to watch.
You can do an upconvert.
Oh, that'll look nice.
I'm sure it'll look fantastic.
I was at the Sony booth at CES, and I was watching a 4K set next to a 1080p set. And I had to really squint to notice the difference. And this was with their demo. It was
noticeable. 4K.
Boom.
I would notice a difference. I think 4K looks really good.
Maybe if they really got in very detailed programming. But for just, watching even what they were showing, standing back far enough, it was, you could see it, but not enough to pay $25K.
I think once the, I'll be buying a 4K set the minute there's, easily available programming. But, I don't know if it's going to be Red Ray or what they're going to do to make this doable. But you can't do it on a Blu-ray. You can't. Sony's shipping a hard drive with their 4K set full of movies. And this is the only way you can do it.
Well.
And certainly bandwidth is insufficient.
Right. Yeah. How do you get new movies on there?
Yeah. Apparently they trickle them and they trickle them down. So the Sony thing is a big unit that you plug into the internet and it gets new movies all the time. Disney did that.
Wow.
The internet.
You have the internet installed at your house?
I have installed the internet now, and I feel like...
it's mostly for email.
It's mostly email, but I'm excited. I'm excited. I think it's going somewhere. It's going to happen. Twitter, we did the trending box, Bitcoin. I'm just looking through the stories. Is there anything in... are you going to install Firefox on your Nexus 4? You know you can. The new Firefox phone.
What difference does it make?
Fewer apps.
Fewer apps. That's right. You want fewer apps? Install Firefox.
That's me.
Sony's got a new camera. Nah, who cares?
Are you guys paying any attention to the whole Oracle stunt that's going on in San Francisco right now?
No, what are they
doing?
Maybe
you guys from out of town, did you guys go see the boat race?
Oh, it's called the America's Cup.
Yes, I've heard of this.
Oracle has a boat in it.
It's fascinating.
It's not exactly a stunt.
It's not a new idea. It's not a stunt.
Sponsoring a sailboat.
They've taken over the whole city. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Well, they do that even when they have Oracle World. Take over that block and the whole thing. It's amazing how much...
And they do that with Java.
Yeah.
They can't know.
You saw Larry Ellison kind of steamed over Java and Android on the... interview that he did with, what's his name, on CBS This Morning, the guy with the black backdrop, Charlie Rose. So Larry doesn't leave the house, apparently. Is he agoraphobic? Because Charlie had to fly to California.
I've seen him floating around. He's out of the house.
It's like,
once in a while.
But it's kind of weird to say, well, Charlie, I want to be on your show, but you got to come to me.
Well, I can see him doing that.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Just a power play.
Yeah. Only one. Bad-mouthed... Android, but said, I'm not mad. They're not evil. But that Larry Page did steal Android and doesn't give us, Java for Android, doesn't give us credit. Then Charlie asked him about jobs and Apple and the future of Apple. And I think he was widely misquoted because the quote was, Ellison says, Apple's doomed without Steve Jobs.
Doomed.
But all he did is he waved his finger. I don't think that equals doom. So what he said was, he said it's a good column. He said, we've already done the experiment, Apple with Steve Jobs, Apple without Steve Jobs.
Yeah, it's bulldo.
But that was a very different time. And
well, it's beside the point. Anyway, when Steve Jobs first left Apple,
I saw the movie, Ashton Kutcher. He had tears. He drove his Mercedes really fast down the highway, screaming.
He was doing... You do the German voice while you're at it. So they were doing $800 million a year, and then when Scully took over, he got it up to $8 billion. He made the company 10x bigger, and it was when they got the next group of guys.
And Gil Emilio made it 10x smaller.
Well, it's easy.
12x smaller.
It's easy enough to do.
There's a funny scene of Gil Jobs, Ashton Kutcher walking funny.
His Spindler was the weirdest of the group.
They didn't even mention Spindler.
That's
in that movie.
Odd because he was more colorful. He was the guy who would hide under his desk.
What?
Yes.
When people came in, he'd hide under the desk.
Occasionally,
he'd pop out and scare them.
There's stories about him not only hiding under his desk, but hiding under his desk and crying.
I want to go back to Dusseldorf.
It's all on the net.
It's so horrible in California.
There we go.
So Gil Emilio walks down the road with Steve and says, Steve, you got to come back to Apple, which I don't think happened.
I don't think it happened either.
No. I don't think Gil invited him back.
And the road was supposed to be in front of Steve's house, and it wasn't.
Yeah, it was a mansion. A
fake road. Yeah.
Well, it was a different road. Yeah, fake road. It's a Hollywood road. So one of the things Samsung's going to announce, maybe at IFA, maybe later, is a Samsung watch. In fact, they might announce it at the same time as they do the Note 3. I think it's going to be, they're saying maybe the September 4th, the Galaxy Gear.
Duh.
Powered by Google. It'll be unveiled 2 days before IFA.
Dick Tracy watch.
It solves the problem of taking your phone out of your pocket. Is that?
No. Well, it's not. It's not. Here's what's interesting. You can make phone calls from it.
Yeah, that'd be a Dick Tracy watch.
So you can talk to it. It's not clear whether it requires a phone. It sounds like it does not, but we don't know.
Oh, it is a phone.
No, I think it is a phone.
I think the whole idea is it is a phone.
Do you have to get a wireless plan for your watch?
Yeah.
There are these have been out in China for 2 or 3 years. You can find them on Alibaba, and there are all kinds of them, and they're all clunky, and they've just been going on for a while. I'm just wondering when they're going to show up over here.
They're working on a bendable screen, but this doesn't.
How's the battery going to be big enough in a watch to keep the phone going for more than a few minutes?
And it'll be a bad phone too, because it won't have all. It won't. There's so much that won't work on it.
Right, and no antenna. Where's the antenna? Unless you have a wire going up your arm.
I think that would be cool.
Then Tony Soprano will whack you.
No, all the antennas are fractal antennas now. They're not very big. You don't need a lot of real estate for an antenna. That's why you don't see phones with these big antennas anymore.
Yeah, but batteries still. They haven't made batteries small enough yet.
So I want to take a quick break. We're going to come back. One final story, and I want to. We're going to say farewell to BlackBerry. I think we should probably. Do that. I think we should do that, don't you?
Sure.
Say just a few words, have a little wake. Our show today brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup, the backup service that is secure, is encrypted, is private, and is everything you want in a backup service. It's automatic, so you don't have to remember it. It's continuous, so it's always up to date. And it's in the cloud, so if the worst happens, and really, frankly, backup is all about planning for the worst, you don't have to worry about it. Is backing up your files on your to-do list today? I bet it's not. I bet it's in the back of your mind, though. I kind of really should back up that stuff. Don't worry about it. Don't lose any sleep. Carbonite.com. And by the way, if you've got a small business and you're saying, oh, no, don't worry. Joey does the backup. Every week, Joey backs up don't trust Joey. It's a bad idea. Because I know it doesn't say Joey in here. I made that up. But it's probably Joey. It could be Sally. It could be Fred. There's got to be
Heinrich.
Well, no, see, I'd trust Heinrich.
Okay.
Because Heinrich's Germanic. He would probably back it up on
this. There's a little bit
Teutonic.
Of racism of some sort.
It's not racism. Okay, the Teutons are precise.
Okay. Well, I would say that's why I bought a Swiss pressure cooker.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't have to worry.
I have a French pressure cooker. It might work. It might not. It might blow up. You don't know.
No, the Swiss is not going to blow up.
You just don't know. By the way, don't mention pressure cookers on this show.
Yeah.
Now we're in trouble.
Pressure cooker.
Fertilizer.
They're one of the greatest cooking devices ever.
Can you fit it in a backpack?
See, when you put pressure cooker in a backpack together,
now she's
ruining
it for everybody.
That's why I'm glad we've got a backup for our business, because when they come knocking at the door, I'm going to say, it's in the cloud. It's Carbonite. By the way, they have Trust No One encryption where you hold the keys. Nobody else does. You don't have to worry about the federal subpoenas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
With Carbonite?
Yeah.
Huh.
$59.99 a year for one. That's $59.99 a year. Sometimes I say $59.99. People go, for that kind of level of service, that must be $5,999. No, $59.99. Under $60 a year for everything on your computer. It's amazing. Don't send your kids to college without Carbonite on the laptop. You don't want that phone call. Daddy, I lost my paper. You want to make sure they've got it backed up safely offsite. Oh, by the way, it's great for college because you run Carbonite on your desktop in your room, and then you log into your Carbonite account at the library on a completely different computer, and there's your stuff. You can work on it, save it again. It's great. Huh. Carbonite. Try it today. No credit card required, just our offer code TWIT. And when you buy, you'll get 2 free months if you use the offer code TWIT at Carbonite.com, especially you small business owners. Should BlackBerry be thrown in the towel, or should they be fighting to stay alive? They've said this week that they are seeking a way out, basically.
A buyer,
somebody to buy us, maybe break it up.
Never a good thing.
I mean, their messenger is popular.
I was in
D.C.
this week covering the Unmanned Systems Convention, which was an aerial drone convention.
Saw your post from that. That's fascinating.
Cool. all these private companies, and some that could go on the record, some that couldn't. Of course, they've got private government contracts, others that are doing, you know, people like iRobot were there, of course, showing off some cool things. But because it's Washington, D.C., so many people with BlackBerries. And again, I know that that's a microcosm. But even people I talked to in New York that use BlackBerries couldn't wait to get their hands on the Z10. And they are just huge fans of BlackBerry. And they say it. I mean, they're still such advocates of it, but of course, I don't know that that's reflected in any kind of sales numbers.
Can't so they you can downsize?
It seems like there. I mean, there's tens of millions of people who still use BlackBerry.
Yeah,
I don't understand why they can't make that work.
Yeah, I agree with you. It doesn't make sense.
Well, the problem is they have to maintain their infrastructure. You know, BlackBerry, as you guys know, is network based. They don't just offer hardware and software; they also offer a network. So they've got to have enough money to keep that going. I don't know how much that costs.
Why don't they find some way to maintain that network in some other form?
Well, maybe sell it.
That would allow people to think it was the same old, but in fact it was modernized and it was using the net or the cloud in some other way, and they could keep as a niche product. The sales are high enough that they can stay in business.
Seems doable. Yeah, it seems
the
doable.
The BlackBerry Messenger is popular. I remember even during the London riots, kids were using it. They kept talking about the fact that I think the British parliamentarians were ranting against BlackBerry Messenger because they were using it to coordinate their riot activity. So it's
you know,
still,
people always
still
add
out
up,
there.
But I don't think it's actually that big. I was just looking for real numbers on it. It's 60 million monthly active users, which is a lot.
That's
but
a lot.
They have not yet ported it to other platforms. They're just doing that now.
Right.
You know
They're
how many active
now.
Monthly users WhatsApp has? They have 300 million. So I think that ship has sailed too.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's Great that point. Popular on other platforms. That's the problem.
You,
I think
you can't
it's
even
still popular.
If you can't message people on other platforms.
Right.
They also own QNX. They bought for BlackBerry 10, the new OS, but it is by itself a successful real-time operating system. It's used in almost every vehicle except the Ford vehicles. It's very popular in vehicles. I don't know what will happen to QNX. Maybe somebody will buy it. BlackBerry bought them a couple of years ago.
Doesn't it seem like they should get the Motorola deal? Like, is there any other buyer like Google who could...
Yeah. What is the patent situation? They must have patents.
They have patents too. Billions.
It's sad.
Patents.
I mean, I remember the last smartphone I used before iPhone came out was BlackBerry. It was a Curve.
Yep.
I remember my first pager. You remember they had the keyboard on them and it had a pretty big screen and you could actually.
This was in my basket.
There you go.
I don't know what decade that came from.
Probably there it is.
20th century.
That's the
pearl. It's in my basket.
Well, anyway, that's sad. And I don't know what else to say.
My coworker John Patchkowski did some research on their patent portfolio this
week. How
do you
say his name?
Patchkowski.
Patchkowski, thank you.
Patches for short. Patches. Might help you remember it.
Okay.
He says that their IP is worth $2 billion to $3 billion if if it were to be acquired by a consortium in some kind of cross-licensing deal.
Maybe there's hope.
Easily justified, an analyst told him.
Maybe there's hope.
You'd think, but the Kodak had a situation with these patents.
They weren't able to sell theirs, but theirs were only worth... $150 million, something like that.
Doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
By the way, what's the deal with this laptop and this tape?
We don't want it to fall off.
Isn't it designed to fall off?
It is. That's why we tape it on, because it's designed to fall off.
It's like defeating the purpose of the magnetic connection.
We also worry that you're going to run off with it.
No, you're not. What would I do with it? It's a clunker. Of all the things that are on here, this is the clunkiest one.
That's why we give it to you. We don't want you to run off with it.
Well,
City of London is no longer going to track you with recycling bins. Yeah. I think that's huge news.
Yeah, they took the cameras out of the recycling bins.
They were tracking people with recycling bins.
Yeah, so they didn't put the, with the glass with the metal or something.
The idea was to give you ads based on who you are or something.
That's what they said.
They were installed in a dozen bins around London's square mile. People are, of course, concerned. They're being recorded on cameras. There's more cameras per square inch in London than anywhere else, I think.
Yeah.
I think they still hold that record. It recorded a unique identification number for any electronic device, something like probably the MAC address, as long as the Wi-Fi. Yeah, it must be because it was Wi-Fi enabled. They're gonna turn that off, they say. How would you know if they didn't?
Well, the little red light.
I think that's what they're going to turn off. Actually, we're not.
Or they can do what I do.
We're
going
to turn off a say. We're going to turn off the little red light.
There you go.
And then you won't know it's tracking you. They're called tracking orbs.
Yeah. Huh. And I don't want anybody knowing what I'm recycling, certainly.
Yeah, that's very odd. Very odd. Hey, we're out of time. Not really, but it is, after all.
We could go on for
days. Almost midnight, and I really think we got to let you guys go. Thank you so much for being here. It is great to have you once again, Liz Gaines. Congratulations on your fourth anniversary.
Thank you.
Did you do something fun?
We went out to dinner.
Oh, how romantic. Hey, you got to eat.
Yeah.
It was
a
lovely dinner.
I'm sure they go out to dinner a lot.
Clayton Morris, always a pleasure. Give our regards to Natalie, Miles, Verna, the whole gang.
I will. My mom, Verna. I will.
I know more about Clayton than anybody in my life.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
He's my close personal friend on Path.
It's true. It is true. My mom is crazy pather, so whenever we post something, she always has to have a response, like, right away.
She does. She's really in it. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's great.
She accidentally posted she was listening to Pavarotti with my dad, and she accidentally, you know how some people put fake music profile things up on Path or whatever they do? I don't know where they're pulling this information from. She inadvertently hit a lewd music response. So on her Path, she posted, it's so foul I can't even say it, but she didn't know how to delete it.
You teaser.
It's right under Pavarotti is something about my penis, and she she hit it. Because it was easy. It's hard. You miss it, and
yeah, and so she had to then post this whole comment stream underneath her original post, apologizing that no, we really don't want to kill people, and we're not listening to this horrible lewd song right now.
It is possible to delete a Path post. You ought to show her how to do that.
Right. She doesn't.
I feel like though it's kind of like damn you autocorrect, where like it never actually. It doesn't autocorrect to something unless you actually previously typed it, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't skip to the lewd music after Pavarotti unless you actually...
You had one point typed it.
Yeah.
That's what
related,
I think.
Huh. Yeah. Related to this topic, what do you guys do when you make a typo in Twitter?
You just go and delete it.
You can't edit it.
You delete it.
Right. You can delete it, but it still lives on in so many other places, right? That's the problem.
First you cut and paste it because you want to read.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So you delete it. Just can it. And then
but if anybody had retweeted it, their retweet goes away.
Does it?
It's inelegant. I think
does
so.
Does the retweet go away?
I think so, because maybe the I don't know.
I bet the retweet does not go away. I think that's a new creation of content.
Maybe the favorite goes away. Something
just
goes away.
Delete it. People leave all kinds of garbage
out there. Once it's on Twitter, I believe that even though you can delete your original post, other copy
it's the
of it
favorite. That's what goes away.
So what?
Yeah. All right, let's test it right now. I'll tweet something. Everyone retweet me. Okay. I'm making a stupid typo on Twitter.
Okay. This is so exciting. Live.
So we're going to keep the show running.
All right, I'm
going to
retweet. No, I already retweeted it. That's how fast.
I think Clayton is doing this on purpose.
I've retweeted it.
I'm pulling a typo. Let me retweet you.
Yeah.
Did it work? Let me go. Hold on.
It's the way to get people to follow you. It's a trick.
Okay. Anyway, at least I have retweeted.
Right, Larry.
I just retweeted
you.
It just went away.
Aha!
It did.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you look
at
your profile and see if it's still on your.
Oh, you're
profile.
Gone. You're gone.
It disappeared. Both the tweet and the retweet.
Oh, and my tweet of your tweet is gone. So see, I was right about that.
It deletes the retweet.
It's a scandal. This is unbelievable. Well, something has to be done.
I think Twitter needs an edit button. You know why they don't have an edit button?
They should have an edit button.
The problem is, let's say you said something and then people retweeted it. Then you could go back and say something entirely different.
That's worse.
I
like it.
Exactly why.
I've never said that.
Look.
Show me proof.
Printed record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's like re-editing. You have this on blogs. I always like the phenomenon. People say, oh, you misspelled so-and-so.
Yeah. So you fix it.
And you go
silently.
Fix it and you say, I didn't misspell it. You're crazy. You hate
you
me.
See. Check. It says.
But if you had the internet installed at your house, John,
I've had it installed for a while.
Show you how to do that for you.
John C. Dvorak is at channeldvorak.com, noagendashow.com. Blogs semi-regularly. How often do you post on the
Commonly.
Commonly.
Yes. Dvorak.org/blog have a drink. And I don't have anything up there now. I mean, there's other people. I got a bunch of bloggers. That blog with
They do it for you.
Well.
Yeah, look at it. See, somebody posted recently.
So that, and there's also
the Inside Track Book.
The Inside Track
Book. Buy this book. InsideTrackBook.com. This is a compilation of the best John's columns from the year.
Yeah, basically.
You edit it at all, or you just kind of cut and paste?
Well, I don't know. You know, I have I've combined some of the edits that have been done for me.
We had Chaffee on Stuart Chaffee.
Stuart,
on,
yeah,
we
had
week.
A different last name for him, but go on.
He talked about you taking apart a PC.
Yes, yeah, I was on a show a couple times.
And not being able to get it back together.
No, I was getting it back together, but the show ended.
I love it. You see, you just edit that and nobody will know the difference.
Exactly.
Exactly. Larry Magid, go to safekids.com. Larry Magid, also on CBS. What else you got? You got
Larry'sWorld.com, which is where I put most of my tech articles.
ConnectSafely.org.
Yep, in Larry's World, and you can find World. Me on Forbes and elsewhere. So
thank you
I'm
for
having
being
fun.
Here. Thank you for being
here. And here once in a while.
Always love having you on.
I love being on your show.
Thank you.
Even when John DeVore, actually, especially when John DeVore.
No,
yeah,
John,
yeah, nice try,
you know,
yeah. Nice save.
You know, Beef Trey, John DeVore was the first person to publish me.
Wow.
In the computer world, back when he was editor of InfoWorld. So
I believe this is true.
You discovered him.
Despite the fact he's been rude to me ever since.
Of course.
That.
John's rude to me, and I think he actually likes me.
I'm totally rude to Leo.
He's just a rude guy.
Not with Liz.
It's John's way of showing love.
You've not offended me yet.
Have nice I have not offended Liz yet.
John. Oh, my God. Poor Liz.
Clayton, for sure.
Oh, no, we do. We have a nice space in our family for John. My wife, Natalie, formerly Del Conte, was a guest, I think, first on Cranky Geeks. It was her first television appearance.
And we had to do everything we could to keep her coming on because she got, like they all the women do, when they first show up on any show, they get slammed by the nerds in the chat room and the commentators.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you have to talk them back down. No. They don't hate you like they say they do. And then you go back
on. The next 3 days reading comments and they don't leave the house. And they order in seamless web food and they're like, Mom, terrible. These people thought I was terrible.
Yeah, it's true.
It's bad. It's funny. So John gave me my start too in broadcast, computer broadcast.
Yeah, but you were the broadcaster.
I was the tur, you were the T.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And but John, to his credit, gave me scope to, instead of just being your announcer, to actually talking about
something. Oh, I could have done that?
Yes.
Oh, damn.
John, we have a call from Fresno. Bob is on the line. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah.
I would have been doing that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it didn't happen John, that way. And then now you're a mogul.
Now
what
I'm
am
a
I
mogul.
Supposed to say?
John gave Marconi his start.
John gave Marconi his start, too. It's not well
I'm pretty
known.
Old.
That story is a great story.
And Leo, I remember when you and I, remember we did a pilot for a TV show that was going to be sent around by videotape. This is back in the 80s, and it, for some reason, never went very far.
Really?
You don't remember that?
No.
You and I were, it was some weird syndicator was putting this together.
Leo
and
was on.
It was a long time ago.
Wow. Something sounds familiar.
As we get backyard reminiscences.
It was when I was doing the computer show. Right after the computer show ended, the syndicators of that show had this lame brain idea that they would have you and me and a few other people do weekly videotapes, and they would mail the tapes to people.
Hey, that was the best
now
we
got,
we got
John in the back laughing on that
now
one.
That we installed the internet, everything's easier. Liz Gaines is at All Things D, covering all things digital. It's good to have you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Really appreciate it. Everybody was nice to Liz. See, none of that happened.
Right? Yeah, we'll get on her.
Liz is smart, and
I'm
it's
not
obvious.
Look at the chat right
no,
now.
No. It's you know, it's
give
just
it to
obvious.
Her chat room. You have your one opportunity.
Yeah, well,
I'm just afraid of Kara Swisher, so I'm going to be nice.
She
to Liz.
Scares the hell out of me.
Kara, you know, you don't want to get her mad.
Holy cow! Yeah,
is mean, that why people scared. Are nice to me?
No,
it could help. Because I'm not Kara, nice to Kara.
Would Kara like come beat me up if I were mean to you?
Maybe on Twitter.
Yeah. I don't want to cross Kara. She's been on the show many times.
Kara's a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of.
We'll talk later. Clayton Morris, catch him on Fox and Friends. And you also do some podcasts. You want to plug any of those?
Sure. 6 years now we've been doing a nerd podcast where we talk about movies. We're doing our Summer of Trek right now on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. So we just, me and my best friend, since childhood, we've been going through every one of the Trek films, starting with the motion picture. And hopefully at the end of the summer, our good friend J.J. Abrams will be joining us
You're
to talk
kidding.
About the latest in the series. Yes. So we're building up to that.
J.J. Abrams is your good friend?
Well, he will be.
And by then,
what is that going to entail?
What's the website for the show?
You can just go to on iTunes. That's where it is. Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe.
Grizzly Bear.
Good. Just a fun nerd podcast where we'll be talking about Breaking Bad. We'll be talking about Star Trek. talk about the monkeys. We talk about all kinds of crazy stuff.
There's not enough stuff.
Actually, there's a website, grizzlybearcafe.com.
Mm. Yeah, that's a website, too.
Grizzly. What's the egg in Grizzly Bear Egg? What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, really.
It was grizzly some bears... stupid comic book thing from when we were little kids, and we were drawing, you know, you would just draw little comic books when you're a little kid, and yeah. I just drew a comic book called Zip the Ghost Egg. And his whole purpose, his superpower, was that he frightened grizzly bear eggs. And it made no sense. And it must have come from some weird dream, like one of your weird dreams that you had the other night.
In your dreams?
I talked to Google now in my dreams. Yeah. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, that's a lot. Hey, thank you, everybody. We do Twit every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. I never can remember UTC is plus 7. Is it right? I don't remember. 2,200 plus 8? I can't ever remember. Anyway, you can figure it out because you're smart people. Watch live if you can. If not, of course, on-demand audio and video is always available at our website, twit.tv, but also on iTunes and all the other podcast clients and all that stuff.
Huh.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another Twit is in the can.
Doing the Twit.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Don't you think this is like content for the show?
Yeah, but you know, there's so much. Why be stingy?
Stingy?
Why hold back? You know, there's people. Yeah, I would get a brush. You have a brush?
Nah, I don't need a brush. I'm good. I don't need a brush. Hit me with a camera. Let me take a look at myself.
Yeah, give him a shot.
That's fine.
Like Nick Nolte's mugshot.
It actually does.
Well, I know my target for the day.